well. We also have the Open Society Foundation here. You will recall we said we would have them before us. Thank you very much, Pastor. We're expecting the Pastor's budget. They're here for a few minutes, Sean and his colleagues here. They're going to speak to us for 5-10 minutes. You know, what the project is about, and then we have the principle whether we want to work with them or not. Even if we don't work with them, needless to say, they have the right to go ahead, and they will go ahead, and we'd be foolish not to work with them, so I hope you will practically do
this. Only the
so-called
members are allowed for us, please.
Is that the rules of policy?
I'm not sure that it is.
This is allowed, really. Yeah. I mean, I've never heard of we break that too. That's ridiculous. What's the point of our rank? Okay.
But nonetheless, what is very useful is that SCOPA obviously looks at the financial statements at a whereas you look at overall performance, they look at it very specifically from a financial point of view, and it really is very informative. The issues that were raised at that meeting, they looked at the Department of Justice overall, the NPA, and the Legal Aid Board. The issues that they raised with the department are by and large the same issues that we raised with the department when we had the meeting on the annual report. Probably the most important issue there would be the one of human resources and vacancies, where Scope actually pointed out that when it comes to the percentage of vacancies, the department is richer workforce than it was in the previous year. And secondly, for our committee to bear in mind, there were issues relating to active management, where the department responded by preparing a action plan, called the audit action plan, which SCOPA has requested this committee to monitor on an ongoing basis. In other words, next year, whenever we meet with the Department of Justice, it's just on an ongoing basis, monitor the implementation of the audit action plan. The other main problem was the issue which this committee is familiar with, the third-party funds, the money in trust, that's by and large monies that are paid into the Department of Justice's bank account for maintenance, guardians, insolvent estates, and they are moving from a manual system to an electronic system, and that is causing all sorts of financial accounting problems. And also there, the department has put forward a third-party fund action plan, which has also been made available to members, and SCOPA has also requested that we monitor and oversee the implementation of that plan as well as the committee. With regards to the NPA, there were a few very concerning issues regarding the NPA. Firstly, the criminal asset recovery account. One of the SCOPA members made the comment that for the very first time last year, proceeds from the Prevention of Organized Crime Act, which was in the CARA account, was actually paid out to law enforcement. And it was something for the amount of 80 million rand, whereas Parliament appropriates a larger amount of money to uphold the CARA. In other words, the member raised the question, are we really getting value for money? Is it actually worthwhile having if you put in more money than what you're actually getting out? Another issue, the Auditor General made the remark that there is, in general, when it comes to the NPA, a problem of non-compliance with financial prescripts, big amounts of free disinformation expenditure, an amount of 121 million irregular expenditure, which is huge, and the NPA could not really give a satisfactory account as to why those amounts are that high. The Auditor General has flagged that as an issue of concern. Then in regards to the Legal Aid Board, there were certain deficiencies that were identified by the Auditor General. It relates by and large to the implementation of a new tax system at the Legal Aid Board, and Judge Number gave the scope of the litigation that they had good 56 in fact, it's all in my that was really the only problem with the Legal Aid Board. So members should have my report as well as share the annexure A and annexure B. Members don't have the annexure B. But if we could just table those two annexures in the beginning.
Thank you. It's a very short, stopping, precise, good report, Carol. Thank you. In respect of NPA, we're going to have the annual report early in the new year. But that means a comment on simply the department's report. It overlaps a lot with what we said in our report. I think the team's working on a task. We'll adopted before we arrived on the 22nd of this month. We have several reports to adopt before we arrive, and I'm hoping by the middle of next week the report will go up, and then this report on legal report. The one report we already have, by the way, is on my desktop. I've been through it, and I'm making some changes. It seems quite useful. It's a visit we made to the Baltimore prison. That report is ready. If all goes right, we'll have a check of it tomorrow, we'll adopt it next week. Then the legal aid board report, 15 later this week. Yeah. And the department's report, which is the most important report. So when we write the report on the department, we'll take into account what Carol has said. And we have overlap substantially with us. Just to say, partly, we have to look at the financial reports of the annual report, so because COPA does what it does. We don't duplicate it, and therefore it's all the more important why we should go to their meeting. So I'll just remind us, Carol, the Republic Enterprises, we sent a member, and he was allowed to speak. So I'm surprised they sent that to you. All right, let's get back to the report of Carol. On the department, any comments people want to make? You see, these action plans that have been presented, I have votes for some reason. I don't know how to reach others. I think we need to look at this and monitor it over time. The department did give replies to be fair to them. Carol, they said on, in respect of posts, they said that the current vacancy rate since the report is now down to 12%, and they are ready to advertise a further 1,000 posts. No? And then in respect of the asset management issues, they're getting support from Treasury, is that right?
Yes.
On page 1 of Carol's report, it says they provide training for asset controllers, asset managers, and so on. Now, given that the department's going to appear before us each quarter, and Carol's just emerging for a established expert in this area, she will remember when they appear before us that there's a follow-up on these things. You were elected in your
absence.
No, 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 but the point is, in your absence, we were unanimous, weren't we? I know you're very modest and you're attracted now, but also, Carol's the guy for this job. So, first party fund. Then, too, the department gave more of an answer to them than to us, partly because they're more skilled in, I suppose, engaging with these issues with the department, right? They request our committee to this various policy issue. What's that, Carol? What policy issue are you talking about? Around the third party funds.
This is all news to me, I must tell you. It seems to be an issue that has come up at SOPA the year before. My sense is that the DC was saying that there was some talk about handing the whole issue of money in trust over. Now, over to you, whether it be an agency, whether it be social development, they didn't elaborate on those issues. But it seemed to be that there was a tentative debate as to whether justice should be handling these funds at all.
Yeah.
The other thing comes up in the annual report, that they put that in a separate financial statement,
yeah,
because they say it's not their money,
right,
and it shouldn't be handling.
Okay, any other comments, members? Janet, you want to get to thank Carol for excellent work.
Mm-hmm.
And to remind her, she set the standard,
yeah,
and she cannot lapse.
Blonde or not?
Yeah, blonde or not, she's related. Okay, so there we are. Thank you, Carol. That's great. Okay, then we go on to the Open Society. We have Sean and his colleague, Alfred, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, we were here last time, too.
Yes.
Please welcome. You're going to take us through. Is it available?
No.
Fine, well, you've got the text, members. It's got to you, I think, this morning. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Just to welcome Alta and myself from Open Society Foundation. Thanks for the opportunity. I'm going to hand over to Alta to take us through the initial research which would inform the inception report, and we'll speak to that and the way forward after. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Chair. Just briefly on the study itself and how it will be constructed and with what aims it will be undertaken. The Open Society Foundation commissioned this research with the aim of mapping policies and decisions within or under the vote of the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development to see how these strategic policy decisions are operationalized, how they are funded, whether they are implemented, and overall what impact they have on the criminal justice system.
So you're taking us through this report called the Inception Report Draft.
That's right.
This is the report you give us an overview of. Thank you.
And you also have handed out a copy of the slides, which follow a slightly different sequence than the Inception Report. The study will be on the 2007-2019 medium-term expenditure framework, but it will also be looking backwards in order to identify spending and performance trends. The final report will be ready early in January, in time or just before the 2008 budget is tabled in Parliament. And the report is highly likely to contain useful information for the committee to engage with the department during the discussions on their budget, after the budget has been tabled. The Inception report that you have before you is a report that's provided after the start of the study. It's based on thin analysis, and I emphasize thin analysis. There are still many data issues. For example, there's about 500 million in the vote of the department that is indicated by program, but it is not clear how it's being used within the program because of the new economic classification system and how it appears in the budget book. So there's a lot of data issues that need to be resolved before one can firm up the numbers and come with more firm conclusions. The approach and scope of the study. The study is basically what is known as a public expenditure review, which we don't have institutionalized in South Africa, but is used in many other countries to look at spending or budgets and spending of departments against what they deliver for those funds. So it looks at effectiveness and efficiency, and it looks very specifically at the links between policies and priorities and budgets, and then the links between budgets and implementation, and the further link between implementation and service delivery and answering to the initial policy dilemma that caused the policy to be formulated. So it traces the public policy cycle. The scope of the study, the Inception Report makes proposals around that, and we will be discussing that over the next few weeks before the main research program starts. And I think Sean Arthur and Dan will elaborate on a workshop that we will be holding to discuss the finalised Inception Report and finalise the scope of the study. But the proposal is that the study, within the scope and the time available before January, there isn't really time to look in depth at all of the department's spending. So the proposal is to look at the spending, which is also in the interest of the criminal justice program of the Open Society Foundation, which is spending that is relevant to access to judges, to justice, spending on service delivery within the criminal justice system, and spending that is relevant to the rule of law. And within that, if you look at the Inception Report, you will see one can actually identify programs and sub-programs that are not highly relevant to these areas and will therefore not be looked into in great depth. It will look at the current index, but very important, it will start tracking expenditure from the 2004-05 budget year. So we will have 3 years of actual spending and budgeted spending that one can compare through the various shifts of funds that happen within a spending year, and also then against what actually happened, what was funded, and what was the effect of what has been funded. And I think in the annual review meeting of this committee, tabling of the annual review, the annual report in this committee, some of these issues already came up around court efficiency not improving as fast or as well as could have been expected. The method is very simple. It's a very straightforward, in principle, method of a public expenditure review. It's to identify the policies, look at spending against the policies, track it through implementation, and then link it to the outputs and the outcome data that is available on outputs and outcomes so that you can look at effectiveness and efficiency of spending. And of course, this will open up main budget and service delivery management issues. because if this link in the chain from budget, from policy to budget and from budget to implementation and service delivery, if that link is broken somewhere, it often has to do with the budget management system and the service delivery management system within the department. So one uses the budget and spending trends to pry open the areas that we want to look at a bit deeper. Just on the preliminary findings in the draft inception report that you have in front of you. The first research that I've done shows that there is quite a strong link between national priorities and the department's priorities. There is also, on the surface of it, a link between the allocation of funds and even the use of funds and the spending priorities. However, the preliminary research already starts showing that maybe the link between the budget and implementation is not as strong as it should be, and the link between implementation and service delivery is also not as strong as it should be. There are many incentives, many initiatives that the department has started over the last 4 years to improve service delivery. It's funded it. Some of those initiatives are actually ongoing and rolling out, but one doesn't see improvement in the indicators on the other side. So those are the issues that the study would be looking at. The next final slide starts listing some of the proposed spending issues within the central spending areas that I highlighted earlier that the study should look at or that can be prioritized in a study like this. The first few are in the general area. A deeper look at the link between increased spending and input and service delivery. A look at underspending. Why does it happen? Where is the problem in the budgeting system that leads to consistent underspending? Where are examples of misalignment between policy budgets and the capacity available to spend those budgets? The distribution between and of capital and the current spending against the priority. So those are the general issues across the board that one would look at. But then quite specifically, the issues that require further investigation using the budget as a lens, support performance and efficiency, case flow management, and the coordination between different agencies within the court system. Access to justice from a spatial and vulnerability group perspective, and here some think of the Master's Office and investment in courts, in prosecution services and legal aid services joined up in a spatial perspective. Human resource management, which also came out of the previous report, and operational efficiency. Spending on information systems also came out in the previous report, and operational efficiency. And spending on systems to manage monies in trust. One wouldn't look at the financial figures as much as the monies in trust themselves, but try to understand, because there have been initiatives within the department to address the money and trust issues, try to understand why these initiatives have been slow to get off the ground. Of course, a lot of the success of this study depends on access to the department and access to further data than what is publicly available, although one can do a perfectly solid study on the data that is available once you've clarified some of the data issues. On the way forward, which is the last slide, the workshop that Sean will discuss the date for just now, it will be a stakeholder consultation to look more closely at the scope of the study and to finalise it for the main study programme. Thank you very much for your time.
We were suggesting the 22nd of November as a date to consider the inception study and fine-tune the areas of focus for the study. And whether that date would suit members or not, we are flexible, but we would go with the 22nd.
It's a pretty bad date, I think, because it's the last day Parliament, and normally we have lots of bills to and three languages and so on. But can we discuss that outside this meeting? What we think is we are then to not take a final decision. We need to mull over this. I mean, I know that members might have just started mulling over this now. So what we're going to do is raise some questions if we need to in principle on the trust approach you've got. And then we'll come back to you by this week for the formal report when people have had more time to mull over things. Okay, over there, members.
Any comments?
Carol, this is your sort of area.
Yeah.
Okay.
Other than say it looks good for now.
Yeah.
It needs more time for us.
Yeah, so that's great. Well, can I just do some quick sentences? One is, from what you're saying in general, and I had the opportunity to meet Sean outside of the committee meeting. He raised to meet with me, and I said, look, I don't think that this is a model that the committee has done. But a lot of what you're saying is consistent with the rest of the PMNA and our oversight rule. So in principle, it looks good. Let us look at it more carefully. And we'll come back to you within 7 days with our more specific comments. Secondly, just to alert you to this, one of the things we discussed last week is we got the annual report of the department. We looked at it. We decided that we've got maybe, if all goes well, 15, 18 months left for this term. And we have to be selective and strategic about what we want to achieve. And we're not going to sort of take on more than we can chew. We're going to focus on a few areas and get them achieved before our term lapses. And one of the issues as the discussion panned out that we're very interested in is we're going to need to safety and security early in the new year. But before then, we wanted a discussion or paper or something prepared on how we might be able. You see, when the DG appeared before our committee, he said, look, 70% of the cases are enrolled four-way. And of course, Dr. Delport jumped in and said, well, you know, you can't just blame the department. Right, it's safety and security, the quality of the investigation. So we agree. We will meet with the Safety and Security Committee, our committee, and any other committee that's relevant, and stakeholders, and have a full day in hearing on this matter. You might be able to contribute in that regard. And certainly, even if we don't agree on a formal relationship, if it's a hearing, you are free to apply to being heard. Secondly, I think that we should be aware that the Minister of Finance has been consistently saying this. When we consider budgets of departments, and frankly, even Chapter 9 institutions, they should not be briefing, they should be hearing. The public should have a right to say, this is what we think about the departments and achievements over the last year. Now, in truth, even in the committee I previously served in, which has far less legislation than this committee does, we were just unable to do it because of the load we had anyway. But strictly speaking, next year, when we have the department's budget, if we can, we can convert it into a hearing. So people like yourselves can, even if you have a formal relationship with us, we have. Or the trade unions, or whatever, NGOs, and so on. And same with the South African Human Rights Commission. Strictly speaking, this should be a public hearing, not a briefing. Where the public, and more importantly for you, I mean, you serve it in the public. The public should be allowed to come here and say, well, you know, the team is saying all these things, but the truth is on the ground. You know, it isn't happening. Or, great, you know, they're doing an excellent job. So can we think about this, Lolly? But whether we can manage. I know in the committee of chairperson, when we raised it, Jeff George also said, actually, that's correct. When National Treasury is addressed us, or the Minister of Finance, he has consistently raised this issue. Certainly not being rigorous in our exchange with all these people taking money from the fiscal. But secondly, it's actually the public has a right to be heard. So let's look into that. Okay, thank you very much. In principle, look, it's fine. Let members mull over it. I'm more acquainted with the project than members are. And I think in fairness to them, they should have a week, but no more. We should let them know where we stand. And then we'll come back to about dates and so on. Okay, thank you very much. Then I know Joe is getting impatient, but you have your full say. Just a few quick things. The British are coming here, Parliament here. It's wonderful, eh? Jody, from the advanced industrialized world, they're coming to us to look at our bill of rights. And what do I personally know about these things? But anyway, that's another story. There are lawyers here and whoever. They're visiting us on the 21st of November. I was going to be away on family leave, but as it turns out, I will be here, much to the regret of my comrades and colleagues. But I'll be here. I'll say little, I assure you. I was looking fine and my good looks would charm them, and like an educated guy I am on these issues, I'll hand over to those of you who know more. But let me just say, on a more serious note, JJ, while he was in the legislature, was actually involved with the Bill of Rights. I think Dr. Jalpon. For the rest of us, hey, will we? Llewellyn might have been involved in shaping the CA process. Well, you were involved in these things. Right, so what I think is that after I say the NC words I will, we will hand over to people like JJ and Dr. and so on to actually explain. They're basically concerned about why we went for the Bill of Rights. You know, maybe the Human Rights Commission could send somebody. Are they meeting with you?
We are meeting with
the Oh, you're meeting with the
Okay, so then they will be here.
It's a multi-party team of MPs. I think they're looking into the possibility of a Bill of Rights for Britain. Personally, I like the socio-economic side part, so I'll read the night before on that. I don't think it's wonderful. And Christine will help me stumble along. Use some work, one page or something, tell me why there's the Bill of Rights and so on. And they're going to be here, and we should... We see they're only rolling in at about 1 or something. So, you know, we can have lunch at 1:30, and we're going to seek some sort of dispensation from the House to meet with them. Say from 1:30 to 2:15 for lunch, and then 2:15 to maybe 3:30 in a formal meeting. Because we have to go to the House on the 21st, I imagine. Okay, that's it. The next big thing is that we're voting tomorrow on the Judicial Education Institute bill, so we need a quorum on it, just to let everybody. Secondly, hold on as well. We meet this afternoon, and that's time to finalize just outstanding matters. Other than policy, the tiny commas missing and so on. So Christine, yourself, myself, Johan, mm-hmm. and Emma. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Then we will hopefully, I'll do the report. You want to tell us after I'll get the more political stuff. We will have the report ready. We'll vote on the bill first thing tomorrow. Secondly, Fatima will finish the Traditional Services Commission Amendment Bill next Tuesday. Is that right, 13th? Yeah. We call it not the Chief Master, is that right? Acting Chief Master
yes.
for now, yeah. You know, we have to finish that bill. So the end friend at the moment, Swazi, is she here? No. All right, we suggested to her that either on the afternoon of the 21st, maybe we should make it 22nd now that the British are coming. Sorry for not making it. Okay, so we can sorry. Yeah. No, we are going to meet this afternoon. What does that mean? We are going to... Okay, I'll give you the T-Cut. Okay, very quickly, friends. Now, on the issue of these bills, we would like both bills to be adopted maybe at the same time in the House. So maybe the 22nd, maybe even 6th. So the Judicial Services Commission Amendment, we must finish it this year. So next week, we have a slot of 3 hours. From 10 to 1. If you don't finish, then we will speak to meet in the afternoon and finish that bill. So both bills hopefully will be adopted in the House on the 21st or the 22nd, preferably the 22nd. Okay, that then is our matters. Sorry.
On the 22nd, there's a magistrate's commission.
Ah. So you all have to go. Oh, good. Okay, so we'll have to do the 21st. We'll see if the British in some how or the other. Maybe after the sitting of the House meets them again, we will leave lobby to negotiate the practicalities. But can I just raise this thing? I think that the committee, whenever anybody represents the committee, anyway, even down the road, as Carol did, they must report back to the committee, even if 5 minutes. Now, I'm not sure whether it's appropriate, but one of the issues that does arise, I don't think we need to deal with the intricacies and so on of what goes on, and in a way that observes your confidentiality sort of aspects of your processing of matters before the Magistrates Commission. I think there should be a report, an overview report. People went, what came out of it. I'm not sure whether, you know, I'll be guided by those of you who are more established members here, how far you can report on what happened. Like even on the JSC. I'm not sure that you can report on everything, but at least table to us, there was a meeting, this is the outcome or something. But can we look into that? Because I don't think it's right for members to represent the committee and not report back to it. That's a principle law that we agree on. Check the rules, and I will speak to people concerned that they must report back. Dr. Duffer?
I have no problem with that. safe to say that actually we, on the Massachusetts Commission, we don't report to the committee, we look to Parliament.
No, I know, but then you don't report back to Parliament, do you?
No, no, you don't, do you? Yeah, therefore you report to this committee. I'll show you. You're elected by the NA. And for now, I think I've discussed it with the chief, we'll of our committee. We should leave, unless people feel strongly, Fatima there. And they're very well. She's not representing the committee, as I understand it. And quite frankly, our terms are going to last shortly. And hey, you know what, personally, I don't particularly want to go. And if there's somebody who desperately wants to go, I thought Paul Ekwane's got better prospects. But if you really want to be on the Magistrates Commission, speak to Burulani, and I don't really care. You can go. But I really miss you, Fatima, there. And if need be, she can also report. But what we should do is rotate. Because you're representing, I think, Paul is not party political. So once one member on the Comrade Bashwawi, I think, is on it, will report. And then the next time we can rotate. Can we discuss that, Lori? I'll try this meeting. Okay. Back then, I hand over to you, Jody, and your team. You've introduced it. As I understand this, you've given us a slide presentation, and members have had a report. I must tell you also, members, it came very late, but Sue and Isaac, one of our committee leaders, have done a wonderful job. Wonderful job. I read it, and I even rang her yesterday to thank her. Very comprehensive and very detailed. Unfortunately, much to my irritation, I left my notes on a report in Acacia Park this morning when I rushed to. One more thing. Hoshi Mokwela met with Fatima and me about the sexual offences, both it's gone to the NCOP, you know, and so is Rita. And the agreement between the chief's office, Fatima and myself, as I explained last week, was the bills that she took responsibility for together with you, she will finish. So if there are amendments on the NCOP side and they come back here, then the arrangement is that she will finish those bills with the committee, of course. I understand there are going to be amendments. Seems to me from the discussion this morning. But from what I can gather, they will only go through their house, Puradami, in the last week of this quarter. So then when we come back in January, we will have to deal with the amendments from their side on the sexual offences bill and the RICO law. For those of you more familiar with issues than I am, I must tell you the same issues that surfaced here have surfaced there. So they've come back to you. So you might have to give a second consideration to some of these issues, because it comes from civil society mainly. And I think from our minister in particular. But those things we'll deal with in due course. Okay, Jody, we always love to again, I'm sure. Welcome to Jody, we're on the part of Prosper. I must tell you, your CEO and I, we were homeboys for a while. So if I'm slightly too sympathetic to him, will you intervene and say, come and say, oh, chairperson, sorry, chairperson, I can see a subconscious bias. But anyway, hand over to Jody, which is his team. You know all of us, except that me. I'm Eunice Curry, for those of you who don't know. I'm from Institute in Peter Maritzburg, and I used to chair local government, so I was very happy. And where I used to chair public enterprise, I was slightly less happy, and now I'm in justice. I won't say anything.
Thank you, Jason. I'm David Goldberg, I chair the commission. I'm joined by my colleagues.
I know Kathy as well, yeah.
Dr. Duncan Madrida, deputy chair of the commission, Professor Kathy Governor, the part-time commissioner, the CEO of the commission, and Mr. Jesus Panyani, Dr. Colonel Atam, the head of our information communication unit, Dr. Andre Kiyosh, the deputy CEO, and Mr. Fanny Malloy, head of the finance department. Both have Judith Cohen, head of parliamentary office space in Cape Town, and members of staff of our parliamentary office and our chairman office for our year as well. They said they want to see how the commissioners get closer.
By the way, they've given us very nasty questions to ask. I'm teasing. I'm being facetious.
Okay, and thanks. We also welcome the signing off meeting, because it's more in line with, in a sense, the currency of the work we do. They also enable us, as we go into our strategic planning session, to take on board the issues that arise after this. I also want to associate myself with the remarks with regard to the public nature of the work we do. We had some corporate governance workshops last week, and we said the commission, we determine priorities. Now, the question of independence is an important one, but how do we determine our priorities in isolation from the public? And we want to engage in a process where even our strategic planning session is open to other
people. Oh, great.
They can say, don't focus on that issue, focus on this issue. At the end of the day, we make the decision, but at least it's a... We're not going to take the hour that you've offered us.
So I just suggest to the research, can you note that? I think we should put that in our report. It's wonderful. And then we'll hold you to account. Thank you.
Okay, I may say in this regard that we met in the meeting 15 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And it was also said that in that exercise, we could also share jobs that you plan with the department.
Yeah.
We don't have a problem with that,
yeah.
Because in a sense that you ensure that there's great stakeholder input into your strategic planning process. I've prepared some remarks, and CEO will present a substantive report, and in my remarks I'd like to thank the committee for the invitation. So I'd like to congratulate you, although you, and I hope your family will be happy watching. I'd like to congratulate you on your appointment, and I hope your family will be happy watching. We could work together.
I just moved sideways, by the way.
The first issue we raised in the report of the ADMAT, the Ad Hoc Committee Chairperson, Professor Arsene, and we say we found our appearance before the committee robust but fair and balanced. We have welcomed the report voted by the committee, and it is unfortunate that most of the responses, both media and otherwise, focused almost exclusively on the matter of a single commission. That's an important issue, but
yeah.
It seems that time was lost on a whole host of other recommendations that certainly will contribute to more effective state institutions. And we've already begun the process of giving effect to those of them that fall within our institutional competence, issues of governance, for example, issues of disclosure of interest. We await the response of Parliament to the report, and a concern we have, Chair, is we're not sure what the timelines are, but there are a lot of matters in the report that are non-contingent. And it would be unfortunate if those get stuck somewhere in that process. The report also has particular recommendations with regards to the term of office of commissioners. The recommendation is the term of office be extended for 2 more years. I don't know how commissioners will respond to that. The sooner we have clarity on that, the better. I understand it may well be a complex and difficult process moving forward. So the second issue is just to speak about the main pillars of our work, and that's around the issue of equality and the advancement of social and economic rights. And we allude to a conference we held recently with UNDP and the National Development Agency. And it seems that the focus will continue being on equality and on the eradication of poverty within the social and economic rights mandate of the Commission. Apart from the substantive report which we produced and submitted to Parliament, which some people have said is too long, what we've attempted to do recently is to visit communities and to produce specific report arising under this rule. So we visit Skukuni, for example, and produce a report on a 2-day visit, which I think is much more effective as well. That report, for example, Skukuni went to the premier of the Skukuni Metro, and it raised specific issues that are relevant in that community, for example, issues related to water, issues related to service delivery, issues related to roads. But over and above that, Chair, we also use the public inquiry. We have come to enjoy the public inquiry mechanism because it does a few things in one. It's an exercise in accountability. For example, when we had public inquiry into access to healthcare services, what we did is we visited 90 hospitals throughout the country, a mix of large urban hospitals, clinics, and small hospitals. And we had 3 days of public hearings, and it was interesting that the Minister of Health came back to work on the first day of those hearings and sat in for the 3 days. And it was good because it was an exercise in accountability. The DGs were reporting, but the minister also made a submission. It's also an exercise in dialogue, in bringing civil society, bringing government, and the commission facilitating that. And at the end of the day, it enabled the commission to produce a report with findings and recommendations. But some of the issues we argue and fight about, and we don't necessarily reach consensus on, for example, in the context of health, where the budgeting should be needs-based or historic. And that's an issue which policy matters which government, but the inquiry at least enables those issues to be ventilated. Tomorrow we have an inquiry into the whole question of evictions with regard to privately purchased property. Commission received a series of complaints from people that the processes with regard to evictions, the service of documents, the failure in executions are questionable. We've engaged in the process with both communities but also financial institutions, the Board of Sheriffs, banks, banking institutions, and the 2 meter public areas which tomorrow at the offices of the Commission. Here, on broadly on the issue of equality, the Commission continues to use the equality course, but we have submitted reports to both this committee and to the Department of Justice with regard to the non-effective functioning of these courts. I just got a report here, for example, in the Kalisha Court that was launched by the Minister of Justice in June 2005. And that court is actually closed down. And no one was able to say that it closed down 12 months after it was launched because we were told that it was not being used. And it arose in the context of the member of staff attending a disability summit in Kalisha. And someone saying, well, where do we go to if we are discriminated against as people with disabilities? And we said, well, you go to the Kalisha Equality Court. And our inquiries, it appears this court is not existing. Given the importance of the Equality Act, it's see this problem.
Just a very quick thing to say, Sam. Why is nobody using it?
It's a combination of factors. The one is that I don't think it's been properly popularized. Secondly, even at the level of the court, training of court officials, training of magistrates took place long before the Act came into operation. There was almost a kind of 2-year gap between the period when the training completed and the Act came into operation. So much so that when the Act actually came into operation, many of the people trained and lost that training, many people had moved on. And frankly, with respect to in some courts, there wasn't a willingness to embrace the ethos of what the Equality Act was about, and there was a kind of very legalistic approach to the Equality Act. But the combination of these factors, I think, which is unfortunate, because the Act was meant to provide a very simple access and less complicated procedures as would normally prevail in civil proceedings. But in practice, it may not have happened that way. Perhaps the lawyers have begun to dominate the Equality Court as well. I don't think that was the intention of Parliament being part of the Equality Act. To raise a concern about the promulgation of the regulations in terms of the Equality Act, the Act really has two components. The one is the protective part, which is the court, and the other is the promotional part that creates mechanisms for state organs to promote equality. And those regulations are still to come into effect, and the delay certainly has been certainly just too long in our view. Chair, the next issue is around working with other secondary institutions. And the reality is that even though there's a commitment to working together, in reality we haven't achieved a fair degree of cooperation and coordination. We recently had hosted as the Human Rights Commission a meeting of the Chapter 9 institutions, which extend beyond the institutions that report to this committee, also covers the IEC and the CRL Commission. And a meeting of CEOs will soon be arranged in order to try and coordinate complaint handling, promotional work, education, and advocacy. We could possibly discuss later the committee would like to know why there isn't effective cooperation and why it is 10 years down the line. These institutions will function by and large as separate institutions. So the next issue is just around some issues within the Commission and the appointment of coordinators in specific focus areas, because we were concerned that we were neglecting some of those areas. Children, disability, non-nationals, older persons, juveniles in crime, HIV/AIDS, and juveniles in business. And the appointment of these coordinators, I think, has certainly sharpened our focus and increased our capacity in these areas, and we simply offer some examples of the consequence of that. The Commission, for example, sits on the South African National AIDS Council, which is an important structure, ensuring that the human rights perspectives are held within. We were quite instrumental in doing some work around old persons, and for the first time South Africa now has an older person forum. It's a neglected area. The Commission hosted the meetings and the secretariat initially of the older persons forum, and now the forum is up and running on its own. The Commission is also participating. The third area is the more important one, Chair. It's often a concern about the Commission seeking to hold state actors accountable, but sometimes neglecting non-state, given the enormous power that non-state actors wield. And we've begun an engagement with business, looking at the human rights obligations of business, extending beyond what is simply corporate social responsibility, extending beyond simply the annual holding of the clinic, important as it is, but how does business take on board its own human rights responsibilities, and how can there be a fair division of labour in respect of the imperatives of the Constitution. So the next issue is around corporate governance, and I'm pleased to say that certainly at the level of the Commission, we do our best to comply with best corporate governance standards. The Commission went through a difficult period, and I think it's public knowledge that currently we have a performance agreement with our CEO. We meet every 2 weeks with the CEO. Those meetings are minuted. The Commissioners meet weekly. Those meetings are minuted. So there's an attempt to ensure that there's good communication within the Commission, but also with external actors. We've received an unqualified audit report, and I may say for the first time in many years there are no matters of access to that. But what we've also done here is that since we've prepared a 6-monthly report on the issues raised by the audit team. So a report has been circulated here with regard to simply progress we've made. It was raised in our standard. We shouldn't wait for the year. We should do a regular report. So before have a report on progress that we've made. World governments are international human rights obligations. Here we've looked at what we need to do in this area and how we ensure that South Africa complies with its own international human rights obligations, and our unit based in the Central Office has expanded capacity to deal with that. And really it's about ensuring that there's ratification, ensuring that South Africa reports to the treaty body it does, and we're appropriately appearing before the treaty body to submit. It's not a shadow report, it's a citizen perspective. The deputy chair appeared before the search committee in Geneva last year, simply presenting the perspective of the South African Human Rights Commission. It's not in opposition to government, but saying, as an independent institution, these are the concerns we have, this is where we agree with the government report, and this is where we don't. We're also working on the optional protocol to CAP at the moment. And share one concern in this area, which we do raise, is that it's a large area of work and it can swallow up all the resources of the Commission. So we take a limited decision to be circumspect in the amount of resources that we put into this area. It's an important part of our work, but it's not the most substantial part of our work, and it shouldn't be in the country. We just touch on our work outside of South Africa. We participate in the African Commission on Human People's Rights. We participate in the network of African national institutions, and we continue to engage bilateral level with institutions on the continent and beyond. We continue to receive lots of visitors, interns who come to work in the Commission. We recently received a request from South Korea to have someone do a 2-year internship commission. We haven't had a request like it in a long time. It's normally short periods, but it's just an indication that the Commission is being connected and tries to share its good stories and tries to learn from others. Later this month, the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights has asked us to co-host an international conference on the role of human rights commissions in transitional justice. And it's happening in Cape Town. They're paying for everything that they want.
Is it transitional justice, or anything?
A society that have come from a period of repression and...
I mean, like Eastern Europe and South America.
Indeed, South Africa, PRC process, and what role do human rights commissions play in that transitional period. So that conference is happening in Cape Town, I think, from the 22nd to the 25th of November. We're not spending a cent on it, but we think it's good for the country to bring institutions from South America, from Eastern Europe, from wherever else. Here under 8, we deal with issues where we really look for the support of this committee. The first issue is that currently the Commission has 4 full-time commissioners and 1 part-time commissioner. The Human Rights Commission Act requires that we should have 5 full-time commissioners. But currently we're not even compliant with our own legislation. We get accredited internationally by the International Coordinating Committee of Human Rights Commissions. And our accreditation was approved on the 26th of October, but including it, they raised the issue that we're not compliant with our own law. Commissioner Charles McLean resigned late last year, early this year. And there's simply been an undelayed pulling of the course. The second issue we raised here is the issue of continuity. The term of the commissioners here extends at the end in September 2009. We simply made an appeal both to this committee and to the speaker and to the executive that there should be early appointments of new commissioners so there's an effective handing over. I'm concerned if new commissioners take office on the 1st of October 2009, the CEO will simply say, you sit there and I'll call you when I need you. Mm-hmm. And the CEO will then run the Human Rights Commission, which would not be our people.
Knowing him, that's exactly what you mean. Please.
We thought we'd just...
I know the guy.
and none of the current commissioners can be appointed for another term because it's a 2-term period, so there's a need for appointing, I think, 3 or 4 months before.
3 or 4 months.
Would be useful in terms of a proper...
So you don't stagger that all of you are appointed at one go.
Exactly, and
that's not sensible either. The legislation insists that you get appointed at one point in time.
Yes, but it doesn't insist that it be for the same period. The president can appoint for 7 years, but he can appoint for 5 years and appoint for 4 years. The maximum period is 7 years. So you could get staggered appointments where people come and go at different times, and that's good for continuity as well. So that's the second issue we raised here. The third issue is around the information commission. It links up with the concern I raised earlier in my remarks here about the small committee. We've engaged with this committee for a long time around really the poor implementation of the Access to Information Act, and the committee asked us to present some proposals to figure out how we can improve it. And it's a proposal around the establishment either of a new information which I don't think we support certainly, but rather the creation of a position within the Human Rights Commission that should be ring-fenced and dedicated to dealing with issues around access to information. And the fourth issue is around the amendment to the Human Rights Commission Act, regulations related to staff, which also have been outstanding for a long time. So I must say on this issue, we met yesterday with the Deputy Minister, and there was really a meeting between the three Chapter 9 institutions and the Deputy Minister. And we're told these matters are being attended to, but with respect, I think we need some timelines with regards to when they will be.
So that's our role as Parliament.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. Chair, the last issue on the invasion, saying that we two are victims of crime, and the Commission had two lobbies with the Chair. Was present on the second occasion when we held up on a Sunday morning. We've had seven in the last few years. We try to improve security, but at the same time, the balance is that you're a public institution. If you don't want to become a fortress that is not accessible to the public, it's very difficult striking that balance. You can become so fortified that you become totally inaccessible. But you will.
You know, you can complain that it's good that you're also experiencing a bad. But you remember George Fires, when he just got appointed. The next day after he called a press release about how he is going to lead this collective onslaught on crime, his fax machine was stolen, you'll recall. That was in 1995, okay? And after NIA introduced its new office, it invited the press and said it's a fortress. And then 3 weeks later, the computers disappeared and the downstairs hired the six of them disappeared. So we have these absurdities in this country, and you too, in a way, are reflecting it.
Should we lastly say that about 22 months left before our term expires, and what we're trying to do is probably document in a sense the still of the Commission so that we can share both this Parliament some of the lessons we've learned. For example, where the Commissioners should be all based at a single office, or whether they should be at the time they appointed us, whether they would be willing to serve at a provincial office. Those are some of the things that we would like to document and perhaps offer to Parliament, and it can use its wisdom as it goes through the appointment cycle of the information. Chair, future challenges, I think we simply make the point that notwithstanding the considerable strides we've made as a nation, notwithstanding the contestations around human rights, inequality and poverty continue to remain significant challenges. I'd like to think that the Commission, given its profile and given the expertise that it's built up over the years, can continue to play the role of both monitor, facilitator, educator, and agent for transformation. I think it's important to share. Recently, 10 years ago, we hosted a meeting around freedom of information, privacy, and how you balance that. And the Commission was able to get in the same room. On the one hand, people like Jane Duncan and Andrew Harbour, and on the other hand, Smithy Bikalala and Tami Mazoi. And they all came because they realized that they could come to the Commission and take place to debate and discuss this issue, and in fact, to raise Roberts as well. And I think that is an important role to play as well in a structure like.
You're one of the reorganizations that will bring all of them in. Don't you want to facilitate the Polikwane? We're all lost.
As long as you don't create some lounge. You know. So, Chair, we think that role is important because it's important that the Commission is structured. Trusted by everybody, and in the same way, the Commission is used by the executive as well. Some water trends would come to us and say we need to deal with regulations and programs and new systems. So we don't interpret our independence to mean that we have to be so independent as we live in splendid isolation. Independence takes place within a context, and we have to be accessible both to government, to civil society, and to the people who need our services. Lastly, we simply make the point that we often do, that it's really an honor to work in the Human Rights Commission, certainly for us, CEO and all the staff. The challenges are formidable, but not insurmountable, and we still are energized and ready to continue working. We'd like to thank this committee for the ongoing support, but also the members of this committee who serve on the ASWAP committee, and as I said, that was a really good experience for us as well. In order to improve our relationship with Parliament, Chair, and it arose out of a meeting we had with the Deputy Speaker that there was often not enough information about the Commission. At the same time, parliamentarians were often saying we need to know more about human rights developments in the country. So what we've done is produced what we call a parliamentary update. And we went to launch it quite soon, but we brought you the first copy. It's really a first first run, and we would really welcome suggestions. My staff have told me that sometimes students could do some more pictures or some tables and something like that. But it's an idea. The idea is to shoot, and we want to do this 4 times a year, since it's 2006. And in fact, we brought colored copies, but I mean, got lost this morning when I say it's right, coach. That's another matter. So we have print copies of that.
You should raise that with Fatima. She's having a sliding since I got moved from that chair. It's a particular. So you should raise it with your previous chair.
Thank you. Those are my remarks. I'm not sure if you want to, at this stage, engage in some questions around it, or would you like to take the CEO's report? We've also got a report on crime and impact of human rights. It arose as a result of a conference and community dialogue we had. The reality is that crime is impacting on how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about participating in our society. And I suppose we continue to search for solutions. The Commission thought it was important just to not lose sight of the social crime prevention component. In the kind of climate we're in now, you could have a camera simply for a couple of measures without trying to understand the genesis of crime. And the report tries to find a balance between ensuring that law enforcement is effective, but also that we understand. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you very much. Members, can I suggest we take the CEO now, or do you want to? Shall we do that? Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Speaking to my colleagues on my left, just to say, what do I report on? The problem of sharing our report with commissioners. Chair, we just want to very quickly throw out that light conversation, and I'm trying not to take too long, maybe 15 minutes, and then that should be it, because really that should cover both of the things.
No, I'm told it is. Oh, it's not. All right, good members, we apologize for Parliament. Actually, we can go through the hard text. People have got the text, right? It's been sent to all of us, that's right. Okay.
I just noted that we have a couple of typos which have corrected in our current presentation, so just ignore all the typos which you might pick up. We'll even try to see how many mistakes we can pick up. Let's just go very quickly, Chair, to page 8 of the report, which actually highlights the outcomes of the Commission in terms of the strategic plan. And in view of what Julie was saying, in our page 8 of the slide presentation, slide number 8. In view of the challenges, the country continues to develop human rights issues. Nothing changed our strategic plan and included the issue of crime and violence.
Can I just raise a point? Some members got an earlier version of this site, and I got a later version. So I'm not sure if there's a substantial difference. We'd like, you see, this thing came out yesterday afternoon, and I read the report, the original report, and to be fair, I mean, no way in the world do members of Parliament read from page 1. I mean, the British don't do it, the Americans don't do it, with their 28 members of staff to face. And it's very boring for us to read tables in general. Nothing to do with you, to do with all the departments and so on. So, can we please that these things come at least 7 days beforehand? Then, you know, there are study groups as well the week before we're able to go through the slides. But it doesn't make any difference, really, but the later, earlier version, so you can say that it's the same thing. Okay.
She has to know that we actually did comply with the 7 days notice. Oh, what we informed was that your own system apparently delayed.
So we are.
It's not as important on your side.
I was told it's not going to happen. Okay, so I apologize for that. I don't know why I'm apologizing for everybody else. But we'll discuss that outside this meeting.
Your report was sent many.
No, the report we've got. But we say it to all the, it is not directed to you. In fact, your report is very good, let me say.
Okay. I'll just assume the report is very right, and maybe just highlight some of the things which are seen, which are important. Just like, read through the first
Lisa, can I suggest for time-wise, right? Let us collectively agree how much of time you've got. Don't feel under pressure. Is it reasonable to suggest, look, it's 10 past 11. We're sitting for one, as we've agreed. And there's lunch, is that right? Okay. So we'll set the car from one to one. In that case, if you so, you've got 10 past 11. Can we give them half an hour? Partly because members did go through your slides, and some of us have gone through the report. I've done at least 80% of the report. Now, the researcher does a background briefing for us, which we then convert for our political side. Unfortunately, that too got to members very late. I think it was Friday evening. I have read that report. Unfortunately, I left my notes on it and all that stuff highlighted. So Sue Ann will slide in and out of the discussion. Because unfortunately, I haven't got it here. I left it in the paper. So if we've got 1 hour and 20 minutes for a discussion, that's fine enough. But agreeable, half an hour? Okay, you've got half an hour. Take your time. It's fine. You're not in a hurry. Half an hour is fine.
Okay. Page 12 really is the work of the commissioner, the outcome in terms of the strategic plan. As you can see, much of the work, slide 12, we're basically met quite sufficient to the fact that we set ourselves as a commission. And of course, this also linked to the many other things that Jody has mentioned. And then I'll take you to page slide number 15. That is basically the work of the Office of the CEO vis-a-vis the strategic plan. And then in the right column, actually, you can see the amount of speeches which my office has given and media intervention, as well as a number of the international visits we have made. Just to say, Chair, in June this year, we're actually at Harvard, and there were about 30 international experts from the Human Rights Commission. And then there was a snap study of all the 100 human rights commissions in the world, and the Human Rights Commission, Kenya and Ghana and Uganda and later, are the strongest commissions in the world. And out of the 30, the panelists only 5 are from Africa, so it was not that within the basic year choose the outcome. And of course, I mean that we do comply with our especially compliance in terms of PSMA, our quarterly meetings where we submit our progress reports to the commissioner. And then I'll then take you to slide number 17, which is really around our financial management. As a separate outlet, this year was actually we achieved our cleanest audit, and we are working very hard to ensure that we maintain it like that. Of course, there are a number of challenges. And I must point out those that as from this month, we've actually employed an internal auditor who will basically ensure that we do maintain a good audit as much as possible. And we basically outsource our internal audit services to PricewaterhouseCoopers. But from next year, we'll start on scale so that we can actually take over the competency ourselves. Partly because we don't have enough money to outsource this efficiency. And currently, we get support from our private housing company 6 months after the event, which was that then might help us to correct some of the things which we might have done. And therefore, the employment of internal audit is quite a useful thing. Linked to this also, we have employed a monitoring evaluation to ensure that also the impact of the work commission is also assessed, because the AD is now focusing on both aspects, the qualitative as well as the quantitative aspects of the work. And of course, we've got a fully functioning audit committee which meets quite regularly. And then slide number 19 is really the work done by our parliamentary liaison and administration monitoring those students. And you can see that we've made quite a lot of submissions to the Minerals Committee of Parliament. And also, as the chair was pointing out, we've also taken into account the issue of 20 monitoring in this financial year. So the next Taiwanese report, you also indicated correctly some of the things we've done around the international teaching on Israel. And then slide number 21, we talk to the work done by our holy leader, non-national child rights and so forth, and again to the work which has been done. That should be a very key area of non-national. And we are required to anticipate that come 2010, there will be lots of challenges there around the rise of non-national religion in South Africa. Mm. And therefore, how we deal with that will be quite important. And of course, as well as general issues around xenophobia. And then slide 22 is also the work done by our HIV AIDS coordinator. The chair was mentioning our role in the National AIDS Council. And again, I mean, this is a new area of work. Those who came out because we also realized that in the last 11 years of our existence, we've not really done well around issues of HIV AIDS. And therefore, the appointment of those coordinators is really to try and get the commission to get much more involved in this area, which is quite a serious threat to our community. And then, slightly detailed, maybe the work around older persons' rights. And I also need to point out that what we now established is Section 5 Committee, which deals with issues of older persons' rights. For example, by Act, we are allowed to set up this kind of committee. We can bring people from government, NGOs, and whatever, to advise the commission on how best to do the work, so that at least we do take an informed position, that also informs our own strategic plan, as Julie was pointing out earlier on. Especially led by Commissioner Machat, that we've done quite well on this area, because, I mean, as Julie was saying, it's an area which has not really had many chances to still develop in the past. Slide 24 is our work on child rights. Again, it's an area which has been developed for quite some time. We even called that there should actually be a child rights commissioner, because it's an area which also needs a lot of focus, and we are working on this as well. Slide 24 is really the work which we have done around media communication. Produce our annual report, produce our material.
That's slide 26, is that right?
Slide 26. And then it continues also in slide 27. Just to say that I think the commission has really done a good job as far as the media coverage. As you can see, we've done about 165 media interviews in the year. It's basically equivalent to 3 interviews per week. Now, if you were to cost the money we have paid and we bought the car, it's actually going to millions. Actually, and something which we don't factor into the commission, simply indicate the number. But we don't even indicate the AM will receive from 10 million. I mean, to get 10 million on AM Live or PM Live is quite a major achievement. And I think some time to come, we just get in time and cost to show that actually, and we had to pay our money, probably would have required a bigger budget, but actually quite good. It also shows the kind of support the media also have around the reach. And I think that's how we're also able to have this seminar on the issue of Dr. Shabazala's medical records with all the people involved. It was mentioned on the slide, but in our report there is a section which deals with the number of websites we have. Actually, one bit that I that should be on average we get about 300,000 hits a month, and also we are able to break down, and also I mean we get roughly around 12,000 every month international hits from all over the world. It actually shows the interest which the Human Rights Commission has managed to raise around numerous stakeholders on the work we're doing. Okay, that can be page 23 of the annual report. And then slide number 29 basically deals with the work done under COP services administration, procurement, stuff like that, management of our assets. There's a people who are a responsible to a great extent the kind of the audit report we get from the audit general. As you are quite aware, issues of asset management in many times in many public page 30 is our work on human resources, where there were a number of mistakes that I think should not be written through, but be through six. So that was a mistake we should just correct it. But again, human resources are also very important. Our belief is that, healthy workers make productive workers. And we're trying very hard to ensure that they, and because the environment in the commission is very conducive for people to be able to do their work. And we don't really have many kind of problems, staffing problems, which one sees in many public ways because of this commitment to try and make a difference. Again, slide 31 simply indicates the staff complement in the commission for the year under review. So we want to say the first role for commissioners does not refer to commissioners, but refer to staff members in the commissioners' office. Of course, we do submit our employment and this report of time, and also we're trying very hard to ensure that we do meet the requirements of employment and this to ensure that there's a proper agenda management. I must say we're trying very hard to ensure that there's greater gender balance in the commission. Our vacancy rate, you must see in, I think, print something, but it's around 17% for the year 2006-2007. But currently, now it's managing to use quite substantial in terms of the number of appointments we've made. But it's also to raise by the Audit General that we also need to have a quick turnaround time to ensure that once the vacancy, we then manage to do that. But I also need to point out that the government continues to close many of our staff members and lately through the parliament itself, where we no longer have a head of research department that we put now in parliament. And I'm told how the legislature also taken our head of research department. So currently we don't have a head of research department and head of research that has been pushed by various organs in the government. And then I move to the next slide, another slide 34, which basically talks about the work we're doing in terms of advocacy, public awareness, and community outreach. I'm here, Chair, the challenge has always been that the committee needs to focus a lot more on rural areas. And you can see in the last column there, we basically have the 198 interventions in rural communities. And in general, this year the commission has been acquired 4x4. Where we try and ensure that our staff members are able to reach to this rural area. And I think the next year when you come here, we'll be able to show you a map of the area we've actually gone to, especially in rural areas. And there's a lot of work which really hasn't been done under this program. It's also highlighted in the next slide, at page 35, and then also in page 36. Slide 36, as well as slide 37 and 38. Yeah. And then slide 39 is our work also under where we spend a lot of money trying to develop this facility where members of the public can actually access human rights training via the internet. And I've been advised by my staff members that we'll be launching this summer. It was meant to be launched on the 10th of December. But due to other commitments, it's been moved now to January. But it's a very useful learning tool. I think we did make a brief presentation last time before this committee, early in this year.
For who? For your colleagues.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Lisa, you're a politician, or you were in the heart, right? You know, the longer you speak, the less time you're going to have to ask questions. You're unusual in wanting to finish fast. Give members a chance to raise more questions. Yeah, anyway, you've got your half an hour, you don't have to use it.
Chairman, one more time for discussion.
Okay, good.
That's a good way of approaching it.
I'm not only a politician.
Okay.
Then under slide 42, I'm a little bit here, this is of course one of our core programs in terms of mandate of receiving complaints of human rights violations and dealing with them in numerous ways. And of course, we have a total number of complaints. If you look at slide 44, we received 11,000, we dealt with 11,000 complaints in the current financial, in the past financial year. And that's a breakdown of complaints we received, including those which have been carried over from the previous financial year. And in 11 years of our existence, we have dealt with over 60,000 complaints. This year we actually revised our complaint handling procedures to say that we should basically resolve complaints within 3 months. And then staff members will have to explain, if methods, go beyond 3 months, what are the reasons for that. We're basically trying to ensure a much quicker turnaround time. We also have a software which actually helps us to capture the information properly. So if you look actually at our annual report, you actually see there's a much more detailed breakdown of our complaints. We also want to know the socioeconomic status of people, where they come from, so that at least we're also able to use that information for further interventions in the commission. And then going back to slide 42 again, you can see this year we also had 18 investigation matters, largely through the Quality Corps. And then we've had, as you have pointed out, a number of public hearings, the two which are mentioned there. And the report should be coming out very soon. It will be launched. The hearing of the initiation school is actually a joint hearing between us, Federal Commission, and the National House of Traditional Leadership. And then I'll then quickly go to research, slide 56. We did manage to launch our socioeconomic rights report during the financial year, but we basically revised the process to go to a 3-year cycle and not an annual cycle, and also try and find a better way of ensuring that these reports are much more credible and also involve all stakeholders. So we're actually working on a new approach, and next time on our report is done, it will actually reflect that. We can also elaborate on that if members are interested. One of the challenges we had in the research department is actually in slide 46, 47. We have set out to produce two reports. One is the status of human rights report, as well as the agenda on human rights, partly due to the loss of staff. At this point in time, the department has one senior researcher and one researcher who is being affected from the previous program in the commission. And we're basically been losing a lot of staff members. In October, when we had a joint conference, NDA took our research to work for them. So, I mean, we're basically a lot. But at the same time, I think it also presented a little bit of opportunity, really, to restructure the research department and make sure that, it's quite effective. So it's not really a concern for us, because we're actually involved now in the restructure. And by January, what about that plan? We should be ready to relaunch a new research department. But fortunately, because we've got risk 7 coordinators at PD level, well, they're also assisting in numerous research activities in different areas, child rights, HIV, because all of them, a fair of their work entails research. But also the public hearings which we've conducted this year and will be conducting also involve a lot of research. In terms of writing a background report, you had one on health, we had one on farming communities. this week or the next week, maybe one on the on housing or fiction. So I'm sorry, it does not mean therefore there is no research work happening. We see a lot of research work happening, but not through the research department. I will skip all those and go to the slide 48. We still have a very good library. We actually want to say that we probably have one of the best human rights libraries in the country. You can come and see it for yourself. It's quite an asset. We've been working quite hard for that. And it's actually been used by a whole lot of people, university students, to come in and do research there. And we are thinking of actually going towards the library because we've got 8 provincial offices. And we don't want to duplicate the lives that we simply use as authentic lives so that we can be able to offer things to all our staff members. And at some point in time, we must also be able to open it up to the public, to be able to access the human rights that we see there. And I just hope that we not use our library to cover this. If you've been there for 10 years.
You seem to be obsessed about this lottery.
The next slide, not slide 50, really deals with our work around equality. And we also have an equality coordinator who has been employed to try and coordinate our work around this issue of work with every chairperson and commissioner governor. As you can see, I mean, even though we still are challenged by the lack of regulation, we should actually then also have a standardized monitoring of the quality court, but we basically have done a number of monitoring of this quality court, especially in the third row of the last column, 10 monitoring visits in Chile, 10, 16 in Northwest, and 10 in Eastern Cape. And of course, we still also continue to run a workshop raising awareness on the Act. We also had an equality index on slide 51 in November, where we basically called all relevant people to discuss the challenges around the equality and to foster the people. And then slide 52 is really about our wedding on the area. And again, I mean, as Julius pointed out, we still have problems with it. If you look at the first row of the last column, where all public bodies are obliged to report the human rights commission on how the people that act in terms of the request they receive for access to records in their profession. And if you look at our annual report, you actually see that there's a major challenge around local government and some organs of state, which is something which we are working on quite a lot. And then, of course, the Commission has also established a Deputy Information Officers Forum. We also have the PIA Awards since last year, we had this year again, where we basically give recognition to the number of stakeholders, public servants, we're basically become champions of access to information. And this year, we, together with the audit, we basically gave about 3 awards, 10,000 men to public servants for doing a good job. And I would think that's actually quite a useful way, a positive way of trying to encourage public servants to basically be
given to them personally.
Yes, personally. And the AG was actually the overall winner. I think they might have got AG and love. Yeah. And then the chairperson actually of this forum now is someone from the AG office. We're actually trying to develop so that actually becomes a national event at some point in time. And then slide 3 also highlights some of the work we've been doing around to actually promote awareness of IA. And then of course one of our challenges is still that reaching out to rural communities. PIA specifically indicates that the commission and public bodies need to raise awareness among disadvantaged communities so that they can be able to use it. Because we really see PIA as the oxygen of our democracy. And therefore we really need to do a lot more on that. And I've been saying that we also need to write to all public bodies, including Parliament, to find out especially what's the linkage of the budget of Parliament is directed towards raising by Parliament itself. So
Parliament
is good point. So we hope the committee will also take this into account. And then slide 64 is really the special donor funded project which the commission engaged with. This one is the EU project which is in the main areas of work, and I won't really say much about that slide. For themselves in terms of the work we have done, and also even the training the chairperson mentioned on corporate governance last week was very through this program. At slide 56 talk about our work around media, also under this donor funded project, as well as monitoring and evaluation in slide 67 was again. Now, shall very quickly go through some of the challenges which the Commission has raised, and experienced, and some of them, of course, that the Chairperson has raised. The first one related with the whole issue of provincial offices. Currently, we are reviewing the structure and the function of our provincial offices. And we're not filled with vacancies. We currently have three vacancies for provincial offices. Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, and Western Cape. And we're trying to see how best can we deal with it. Of course, we're also aware that there's a challenge also in government, for the three tiers of government. So we also have our own challenges with the two tiers of government, the National Office and the Commission Office. But, we are working on this because we believe that the Provincial Office actually are the face of the Commission. That level, and you want to make the commission much more effective than it is currently. We need to find ways of ensuring that our provincial offices are very effective in the way that they are. And also the second one very relates to the issues that were raised about the research program which needs to also be restructured. The third one talks about our complaints management system, the turnover time in terms of how we deal with complaints. Now, we've always thought we're not doing that, not that well until we met the chairperson of the Canadian Human Rights Commission, and me and the chairwoman won that because of the backlog the Canadian Human Rights Commission has, even though they've got a very good software and they are actually quite short, the course is 5 years, and we get worried about the 1 year backlog. But we are still working very hard to ensure that things are. Is a much shorter turnaround time because a long time dealing with complaints also have a certain risk of organization. People are keeping our government because we send complaints and are doing nothing about it. So the chair has mentioned the issue of the commission of claims, but she also wants to raise the issue of the delay in the payment of commission of allowance. What happens even this year, we'll get a letter saying please back pay the commission salary to last year. Now this really affects our balance, our budget, it also affects the way we budget. Because we're always running in a deficit, we have to pay back. So for example, now when we go for the next year's budget, we know that next year we're going to be asked to pay the commissioner's interest from April.
Join the club. Welcome. Hey, you're looking at the water. What's the water? A can of worms, yes.
But it's an issue which needs to be addressed, Chair. Also, the commissioner still don't have a condition for service. They don't know whether it has a sabbatical or what. And I think the matter, to be very fair, the 2 terms of the commission and without this matter having been addressed. And then slide number 60 also talks about some of the challenges. We also received a lot of complaints, which actually should be falling under CCMA, but people are saying, well, they don't really get much towards that. So we are dealing with this, but I think there's also a need for us to bring CCMA itself. This is a problem which we're experiencing. How can we resolve this? Second one also deals with our relationship with the Justice Department. Which I think the video also highlighted, the problems about getting records so that people can actually transcript, so that they can actually process the appeals in court. The major problem here as well. We actually had to subpoena some justice officials this year around the bench, especially here in the case, so it's quite a big problem. also talked about the issue of IREA and the failure to respond in time to the Commission's request by some employees. And then the last group of chairs about issues of regulation of the human rights position. That's actually quite a bad one. I mean, since, I think, 1997, or let me say from the time the ministry came into the operation, our Human Rights Commission Act is therefore unconstitutional. Many of the provisions in the Act are contrary to the Constitution. So, for example, the statement was reported to the President, and we don't use the report to Parliament. And many other things. And we are really hoping that this matter will be resolved soon. But also, when it comes to regulations, which are secretary of state legislation, which means they have to be passed by the Constitution, since 1997, our regulations have not been amended, and therefore don't even use those regulations. We simply use the NPA judgment across our court, and we've got our own regulations. But it's very unacceptable that the federal body is working outside legal parameters simply because were we to use those regulations of 1996, how to pay the salary of an assistant director at this point in time. And many other provisions.
Now, you've raised this before this committee before.
Every
so maybe the members of the committee will tell you what you've done.
Like
I think it's a two-way process. You're not just held to account. Parliament is account also for issues that were raised. So at an appropriate time, you will explain why this hasn't been done and what you've tried to do to get the department to do these things. But I'll come back to you on that.
Chair, this year also, I mean, we to attract salary skills in conditions, and we also need to make sure that, you know, at least we pay better salaries so that we don't get pushed by government. So we spend money this year, doing an assessment in the commission. The report was sent to Treasury. I said, sorry, we can't help you, but send this report to the Minister of Finance, to the Deputy Minister of Finance, to the President. Now, if the matter is not addressed, the commission will risk getting a qualified audit next year for fruitless accreditation, because we can't change the authority. The act is very clear. It has to be through the regulation to pass the accreditation. So if this matter is not addressed, next year when we appear here, don't ask those questions when we get a qualified audit on that particular matter. And then, Chair, this also links to our concern raised about treasury. I mean, this year was paid for treasury. It was actually very bad. We simply said 0000 to what we are asking. So for the first time in 11 years, we simply told don't even get a ban without any good explanation given to us. They even denied that we appeared before them last year to our honor. And we raised this thing before the car asked us. But last year we appeared before everybody. And then the letter they gave us indicating the amount of money we received was dated a week before we appeared before the president. Which means the colleagues there don't even apply their mind to our submission. You can even see this. And it's really quite a discouraging matter. Unfortunately, the CG was also there, and the acting chairperson of the CG also was very annoyed when they said that, you know, we can't make complete decisions. It's not about us giving. It's us asking for money, and you deciding what money should be getting. We're not getting to that. And we're also not that we should be given money every time we ask, but we'll expect, you know, people to apply their money and say, listen, colleagues, yeah, you're being a bit extravagant, won't give you money for this. But you know, that kind of over respect, we definitely know respect. We didn't see what we said with respect. Actually, some of our business were to work out of that. Checking in terms of time, I will basically move on to the forthcoming event. I'll go to slide number 5. Chair already has pointed out that we're having this workshop with the High Commissioner's Office in November. We're having our hearing on housing. And then we'll be having our second round of annual human rights lecture. Last year we had Algie Fest. This year we're working with the Department and Legal Aid Board to plan activities around the 10th of December. And then next year, Chair, to the decision that the Human Rights Commission, Gender Commission, IEC, Public Protector, Federal Commission will jointly hold the Human Rights Awards next year, as a way of also encouraging South Africans to contribute to what human rights. And then the second last bullet, the issue of leadership program on poverty alleviation. Actually, for the recommendation which came out in the conference we had with NDA, because there will be a need maybe for human rights commission and NDA to basically set up a leadership program for champions of poverty alleviation and eradication in our country. Because the theme of the conference in October was basically fighting poverty from the grassroots. And therefore there's a need for us really to produce cadres who will basically help us to provide food issues, because poverty is definitely a threat to our constitutional democracy and human rights. Okay, I'll end here and then we'll take the
thank you very much. Look, we agreed we will in a 3-hour session have a break for 5 minutes of tea, and because the term was, it didn't matter if we break it, we said, let's break for 5 minutes. So, you're here now, Jody.
Okay, I just wanted to make one last comment. The report, is just to say how, as a commission, we want to position ourselves.
Yeah.
And the two issues is the library we have, the resource center, is a public facility.
Yeah.
It's open to students.
Yeah.
But also, at our offices, too, on the 6th floor, we have quite a nice conference facility. We took it because we thought we shouldn't be spending money on outside venues. And we have all our conferences and workshops there.
Yeah.
And it's available to anybody free of charge. The only condition is that whoever uses it pays for the catering.
Yeah.
And we found civil society using it virtually on a weekly basis.
Good.
Which makes the commission a focal point for human rights.
Good.
It also makes it a public institution in the true sense of the word. I have yet to find people maybe occupying my offices. I mean, we had a city in Israel by that point. We didn't have so much after that, they said, this is a boring city in
Israel. Okay, see them for 5 minutes, no more, please.
Thank you. see as well is that it's not only established the results of this assessment, but also trying to get people that are interested in the work to prove the case of it.
What way would it be to write a simple guide to thinking about
the answer to this question is the actual report is here. The content, the method, the methodology. I mean, would you be able to write a question on that? Can you give me a question? I want to put together a tool for me. I'm thinking if I can take this from the methodology, put it together, and then have someone come and you know, the same language and put it into a useful thing. And then think
That's the way you've been doing the study.
No, you don't get the joke. Let me be the one.
Sorry, we were telling you, you wouldn't believe this, but a matter about processing legislation in the committee. We have got some outstanding bills, and I think the committee met last week, and we're going to take a decision by tomorrow. We are engaging with the executive around these bills. But perhaps to report to the committee very quickly, the child justice bill was signed off on by the minister, I'm pleased to inform you, and it will be taken to a cabinet committee meeting 2 weeks from now, and then it will be taken to the full cabinet a further 2 weeks later. So by all accounts, I think we will have the bill introduced in November. This is the executive what we will apply.
Okay, not from a justice portfolio committee point of view, but rather from the Chapter 9 committee, where I think that the more recent readings were. Because we knew that this was a problem, we raised it at the ASMAR committee, and I went back to my diary, and on the 15th of May, the Deputy Minister for Justice advised that with regards to the Human Rights Commission Act, there was a draft amendment, and that this was an advanced stage. That is in May, and that is as much as we know. I don't know if the Human Rights Commission has heard anything since then. And it also the issue that the ASMAR committee raised on the draft regulations on the equality legislation, which has also been outstanding for a while. The Deputy Minister also indicated that Section 19 of the Act had to be first, as if the minutes first, before the regulations could be promulgated, so that they were attending to that as well. And that was in May, and since then we haven't heard anything.
Now, you raised this to the Deputy Minister yesterday. If you don't feel it's appropriate to report, that's fine, but if you do, feel free to do so.
Thank you, Chair. The Deputy Minister advised us that the legislation in question will be discussed with us shortly, and I don't have a timeline when he said.
Did you ask him?
We raised the meeting and he's given instructions that the department meet with the Commission to present to us the draft, because we haven't seen the draft.
Oh, no.
So there was a response to that issue. With regard to...
When will the meeting take place?
We told it will happen early in the new year, but someone from the department is here.
You want to respond?
The date hasn't been fixed.
It's Ursula, is that right?
Ushara,
I'm sorry.
Chairperson, there is a draft to the report to the Human Rights Commission Act that addresses the inadequacies pointed out to you. And yesterday the Deputy Minister instructed that we must start the consultation process with both the chapter and institutions, the Gender Commission as well as the Human Rights Commission.
Where does the Gender Commission teach you?
I think it's a similar issue in respect to the Gender Commission of bringing it as in line with the
constitution.
I think the reason why we haven't done anything from May to now is that we're waiting the kind of small report. The Deputy Minister did not think it was it appropriate to start discussing before we wait to see what the recommendations were. And he's now given an instruction yesterday that our legislative branch must proceed with the consultation process. So early in the new year, we would definitely start engaging the two commissions.
Now, when do you think, do you have some sort of timeline you will bring a vote to Parliament?
Yes, I think so. We have to go through our process of consultation with the Commission, the Interim Minister, Cabinet, and the introduction of the Board of Parliament. And of course, putting it onto the legislative program of the Department.
Yeah,
I can't give you time frames now because I need to speak to the Deputy Director General for Legislative Development.
That would be John. Okay, can I ask you a question? But you should. You know, we're not asking for the date and time that you've instituted, but at times span in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, when? Also because, you know, this Parliament also can't be implacable with legislation towards the end of a five-year term. We also have to have our own program, and the executive can't drive our program. So, you know, we have discussed with the Ministry of Interest and Security, but we didn't know this last week, that this committee will not, at least I don't know whether people will not agree anymore, but until today, there has been an agreement that a parliamentary committee is not a factory producing bills as commodities. The way I put it, but this was the agreement of the committee. I hope we, as a majority, we still agree. But if we don't, then we must, through our party political structures, ask for a review of it. But as of now, that's our position. And we refuse to just jettison looking at quarterly reports and doing our oversight role. That's also constitutionally our responsibility. Just process those one after the other. So we have suggested to the department that we would like to engage with them about the phasing in of the legislative program. So you should really tell us very soon what votes you're bringing to us in the second and third quarter. The fourth quarter next year, we'll be looking at annual. And then Parliament rises for its election in the early bit of 2009, if you go that far, or make it extended. But the latest elections can be held in June, I think, within 3 months of a five-year period. So I'm pleading with you, Shara, that you take this back to your principles. But I will raise it with the Minister as well. But I would say, look, man, given that this thing has dragged on for so long, can I ask the committee, are we wanting to make this something we want to deliver on before our five-year term ends? If so, then we should suggest to the executive that based on this annual report consideration in our report to Parliament, we will write a report on this report of course, and we will give you a chance to look at those things that are said, not about you, that said that you think, so you can correct your section. And then when we say what we think, you can engage with us, but the report will be adopted ultimately. The section that we, our views are about you, are really our views. So we will send you a draft. But what do members feel? about timelines in respect of this. This has been raised since 1996.
Dr. Galba? Chairperson, I agree that it is our duty to listen. We have the opportunity, and may I just say, some of us will not engage in these questions. We had a long opportunity recently. But on this aspect, this matter, I think we will be failing in our duty if we do not, I don't want to say insist, but something very close to insist that we now get progress.
Can we build on?
I think Professor Report is correct, because what we must also consider is the fact that we are dealing with a certain institution which can be seen to be acting outside of the law. I think that can be said. And I'm generally not happy with the response that I'm getting from the department, because they seem not to be treating this matter as serious as it is. They are not sure whether they are going to bring the administration before us. And I think we should also be exploring whether there are any interim arrangements that can be made. Because if you are looking at the report, the asthma report, it might take some time before it comes to us. Maybe we might think of something in the interim. Because I think such things, if they are not attended to, they've got the potential of damaging the reputation of this institution. Because if the commission wants to summon anybody to come before it, and then find that the accused of the interest person is alleged to have done, it's not correct. It's serious and not correct. I think we should respond promptly.
Anybody else can say anything? So do I take it that we are now saying that we would urge Bishara, the department, to process this matter expeditiously? We're also urging the Human Rights Commission to cooperate effectively with you. Would it be reasonable to say that we would like the bill introduced? Because when we have the Shapiria court bill, if all goes well, it doesn't make child justice bill, the renaming of courts bill, we might get the DSO bill in the first quarter of next year, we'll have to look at the department's budget report and so on. But even if we cannot process the thing, at least it's in the pipeline. So I don't know, maybe this is very close.
I think when we dealt with the, what you call the open democracy bill, Parliament appointed ad hoc committees.
Yeah.
But what is important is for the bill to be processed. It cannot be processed by us.
Oh, yeah.
But what is important is that it has to be processed.
Alright, can we say this then? And we'll say this to the Gender Commission tomorrow too. By June, the bill has been introduced. Do you think that's reasonable? Beginning to May, beginning of the second quarter, what do people feel? I mean, just hoping, because you know this department better than I do, its capacity to produce bills and that sort of thing. What do people do? Can I just suggest either beginning of May or end of June? Beginning of the second quarter or end of the second quarter? What do you want to say, Pulalan? Okay, but what do you suggest? Can we say in our report first, beginning of second quarter or end of second quarter? Actually, go ahead and say beginning of second quarter.
May.
Okay, that's the decision. Christine, you'll put that in our report. Okay. Now then, in response, sorry, it's coming.
Quite a clarity to say. A little bit concerned about some of the comments. The Human Rights Commission Act was promulgated under the interim constitution.
Right.
That fact on its own doesn't make the act unconstitutional.
Okay.
So what you have then is you have a number of coercive powers that you have.
Yeah.
And I'd hate to have a scenario that it's reported that the provisions of the act are unconstitutional. And when they use our coercive powers, people argue that it's unconstitutional. That impression. That's incorrect. What has happened, of course, is that you've now got the final constitution that's coming, and some specific provisions of the Human Rights Commission Act may be incompatible with the final constitution. So a lot of the provisions of the act are workable, but it's an untidy arrangement. So we have a scenario where, for example, the chairperson asks me to give an opinion as to whether or not we can appoint a deputy chairperson. Now that shouldn't be the case. It should be clear.
Yeah.
In terms of the act. So it deals with an untidiness that arises, and we've been able to navigate around the Act because of our experience, etc. Therefore, the timeline that you set become crucial, because once our term of office leaves, you get a new set of commissioners that will come in, and you'll have an Act which has to be interpreted in a way that's consistent with the final constitution. And it doesn't stand immediately on its own. So I just want to make those 2 points clear.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that there's
no, I understand. I think we understood that these are to be saying unconstitutional in the loose sense of the word, yeah. You know, in the general sense of the word. I don't think he meant either. He's a lawyer himself, isn't he? The specific sense in which you mean. So I think we understood that. But you see, it's neither here nor there.
Whether it's constitutional or not, the fact is, you've come to Parliament in 1997, it's 100 years later, it's embarrassing, really. 9 years later, and we haven't delivered on something that's imminently. I don't think it's going to be a big bill to protest, you know. That's the other thing that worries me about Bushara. It's not a big bill, really. I mean, you're going to make a few amendments here and there. That is why I think let's stick with what Llewellyn suggested. Early May, I'm going to be very reasonable, really. Okay, and then we will look to how he counts the words, because we cannot instruct these negatives to introduce themselves. But there's nothing stopped us either from the Constitution of introducing bills ourselves. Uh-huh. On an issue like this, maybe it's time we signal to the executive that if it's not able to deliver on matters like this, bearing in mind that this is a department that has huge responsibilities, I'm sure it's always carefully, bearing in mind capacity constraints, it is a view of this committee, it is an earnest view, earnest is true of this committee. Let's find the word. It is a strenuous view. I don't know, I'll find the word if you can't summon the word to your head. It's a considered, it's too balanced and sensible and sober. Considered it 5 years ago. It's not a considered view. It is a, I don't know, assertive view. I know we'll find the right word. And then Dr. Delphos will have a second bite when the report comes before us. Thank you. Let's move on. Right, in response to the annual report that they've offered us, what are the general comments? And I say this, Duane, you're going to help us because your report reached committee members anyway. Yeah.
I must say I appreciated this interaction, but there's another issue where a timeline might be useful, Chair, yeah. Which is perhaps more pressing. That's the vacancy in the commission.
Oh, coming to all of that. Okay, why don't we ask,
since we're on this area of dealing with specific requests to the committee and in a way to the executive, and the committee is responsible to act on behalf of institutions in respect of the executive. Let's deal with those things, right? I've got them under a list of things. Yeah, unfortunately, you know, I'm really irritated. All my good work of reading your document is lost because, you know, I'd highlighted sections to it. You know, so now you've got to help. And you picked up a lot of things. Can I just say once again, this report by Suen, even if you haven't read it, come here, friends, read it. It's really worth it. I think you'll give it to Sajito and Jody as well. Some of it may be slightly questionable, but that's fine. You've done a very good job, Suen. Let's deal with the other things they raised were all falls under my notes this morning. Where's the section now? I lost it. But then, okay, there is one commissioner short of what's required in terms of the law. Okay? Now you've raised this with the executive. And when did you raise it?
It would be in January this year. The resignation was late December, early January.
Alright, then what happened?
We're still waiting. So it's simply a process of advertising the vacancy.
Alright, so you wrote to the minister, yes. And you were acknowledging of your letter?
No.
Then you didn't follow up?
We did.
And then?
We met with the deputy minister.
Right.
And there was a issue raised where the resignation was regular.
Right.
And the resignation should have given 3 months notice.
Right.
And that issue was only raised in July this year.
Right.
I said, well, if it's irregular, then write to the commissioner. But I don't think it's irregular.
Right.
Either way, there should be a resolution in the matter. I said to the commissioner, your resignation is irregular, or accept the resignation and put in place the process. It's that process that we raised yesterday. We told them.
What did the deputy minister say yesterday?
Well, we didn't speak to the deputy minister specifically about this because he's having to speak to the department about it. We told that they will at this time, but I'm not sure if that's the situation.
Can I suggest, is it reasonable to say they must, the committee feels that this must be advertised before the year is out? Shara, you're going to take all this back. But I will, is there a division of labor between the minister and the deputy minister on this issue? He has these issues.
He has the delegation of Chapter 9
issues. Okay, so I'll also raise it with him on behalf of the committee at an appropriate time. But
then Llewellyn and then Bulalani.
Now, the question on this matter.
Yeah.
Let's say, for argument, say to the recognition of the ratio, then what? The person is voted on.
Okay.
Then what?
it has a particular context in this case because the person in question was not with the commission for 2 years. The person was on.
Yeah, I think I gather from your report.
The person
yeah.
was the World Bank for 2 years. So the reality and executive is aware that the person was not serving in the commission in any case. So the question of irregularity almost becomes then even more academic.
Okay, Noel.
Forgive me, and the members of the commission, forgive me if I'm approaching this differently. I understand the need to inform the ministry when we get to ministry, but Parliament plays a role in the appointment of the commission. Now, at what point do we become involved? And I'm not sure whether it's the Deputy Minister or the Ministry that informs Parliament, look, you have a responsibility here, send out the address and do the normal processes that you do. So, I said this because I chaired an ad hoc committee that appointed commissioners and some of them are sitting here. The Deputy Minister didn't do it. The Minister didn't do it. We did it. So I'm wondering whether the Commission shouldn't have informed Parliament of the resignation. reference to the appropriate clauses and the Act so that we as Parliament could do the necessary things.
I think I've written in my notes here when they're speaking who decides the mayor. I'm not sure there's a law. Who appoints the commissioner?
Taking a deal with that, because I think it's a valid question. The President appoints on the recommendation of Parliament. Now, the process that we followed in January was to write to the Minister that copy the Speaker and the Chair of the Committee. The reason that was done in service that last year, I wrote to the Speaker around continuity, which is raised that the need to appoint the Commission.
That's in your report somewhere, I think. That's I picked it up here.
The Speaker's response was that I should direct that to the appointing authority, which is the President. And then contact the Presidency and said, well, raised with the Minister. So I thought we'll write to the Minister and copy the other entities, because that's where the Speaker's saying it should be. It's a bit untidy, is what I'm saying.
All right, whether can you guide us? What is your proposal?
No, Chair, the Speaker was wrong. I mean, let's be honest and forthright about it. She was wrong. I think your predecessor should, when the handover was done, should have placed this before you, just to alert you that there is this matter. As I recall the process in the past, either this committee or an ad hoc committee of Parliament was appointed. That committee placed the address, calling for nomination from civil society.
It's a gender commission, so that's
right. Exactly. So it's not for the commission or the ministry to put out adverts wherever. It's Parliament that does that. And then public hearings are held where people are interviewed. That's the process. I think we should ask you to approach the Speaker's office and just bring to her attention that this response of hers is wrong. That technically, yes, it is the President who appoints, but it is after a parliamentary process has been undertaken.
All right, Jody, can you send me the correspondence that you sent, and then I will, you got a lot of details, and then I'll distribute to the members to look at, and then we will decide before we draft the actual clause or the section of the report on exactly what we want to do. But we'll shout out, Hannah.
I just want to agree with the Honourable Member Chairperson that that is the correct position. It's actually Parliament in the case of the Public Protector and the Human Rights Commission where a committee prepares the ad and does the invitation for nominations, etc. It's only in terms of the Gender Commission where it stipulates in the Act that the Minister must invite for nominations, after which we then hand it over to the Speaker for the Speaker to set up the ad hoc committee and then conduct the interviews, etc.
I can ask a question now. Who's the pilot here? Lolly, I don't know. Then what is the problem in us agreeing that we will advertise by mid-December, give people up to 15th of January to apply, and then we move forward? What would be the problem? We confer with the Minister, which I can do on the phone this evening, or I can see in the House this afternoon, you think?
Chair, I don't see anything wrong with it. I've always wondered why Parliament appointed ad hoc committees to do this, and why they didn't ask the Justice Committee to do it.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, yes.
No.
Oh, I see. Do you want me to go and speak to the Speaker?
Yes. If she...
Fine, I'll do that.
Well, the power would be, since it's okay for the Justice Committee to do it, fine. I'm I'm happy. It's never been.
Maybe you can go with me, because you went through the experience. We can go together. But it's fine. I'll go on my own if I have to, but you brief me. In short, I'm out of family leave tomorrow. Jody, if you can let me have the letter by Monday morning, I will, my Wednesday, Thursday, go speak to the speaker, and then I'll report back to you. Okay? Thank you. Right. Now, on the other matter you raised regarding the department, the executive, you spoke about continuity. You spoke about the need to stagger people and so on. Now, can we do it within the current, well, we have a new bill. Can we ask you to consider, is this committee opposed to the idea? It can be done, I'm told by Jody earlier, or we told by Jody earlier, within the Act doesn't preclude it at the moment. But can we specifically, and let members specifically, suggest that when you amend the bill, you seriously consider providing for this? We think it more and more with the newer committees that are coming to Parliament. What we say is that you don't get rid of all the members of a board or a commission. We think it in the public enterprises portfolio I came from. The Transnet board is rotated every year, three people have to call for their positions and stuff. That's becoming increasingly the norm. It's becoming good for corporate governance. In short, is there anyone who presents a strong argument against our proposal that when you amend the bill, you make it very clear that you can stagger the commissioner? Okay, so Ishara, you got any response to that? Is there some overwhelming argument against it?
Yeah. So you're okay with that?
I know you're not a principal, but we're just alerting you to, and in case they ask from our guests, present them so we can hear them now.
Okay. Then the next issue is you asked about, then it goes to Sadiq's input about, you see, I don't fully understand this thing about conditions of service, you see, are not spelled out. That's an executive prerogative, isn't it? It's not the committee that does that. Sadiq, so you said something about, in your last, you said challenges. It was about delaying salary increases that affect our budget. Now that is a matter of what society you want the committee to do about.
Okay.
Chair, the decision on commissioner's salary is taken at the level of cabinet.
Right.
The president then signs a
yeah.
The problem is that there's an undue delay in both the taking of the decision and the communication of that decision. So that by the time we receive the communication, certainly in respect of the last financial year, it was a year later. It was financial year. So we're simply saying that should happen expeditiously for two reasons. I think if you get some increases in the year, but secondly, from a financial point of view.
Yeah, the budgeting cycle.
Because you're paying money for this year.
So your proposal is what now? That this is a matter juggled by the President and Cabinet as a whole.
Yes.
But presumably our Minister has an input into that.
So in our report, Christine, we should say that we would now be able to describe the software because, you know, we don't want to make the executive feel now that they're under overwhelming pressure on this one particular entity and so on and so on. So we'll find the wording will be slightly more diplomatic and less assertive, but it's to say that this is untenable and we have to do something about it and urge our ministers to stand up. But actually, the National Treasury wouldn't like this either, because it's not consistent with the spirit and norm of the CFMA. Okay, then the next thing you raised was something about, where are we now? You know, my notes get all old here. But there was another thing you raised on the challenges. It was about conditions of service. Remind us what exactly is the issue with this?
I think the reality is that there are no conditions of service when commissioners are appointed.
Yeah.
Simply by way of example, Chair, if any of the commissioners didn't come to work next week, doesn't happen, but if they didn't come to work, technically speaking, there isn't a mechanism by which they could be sanctioned within the commission, except for their commitment to come to work.
Presumably you don't want that in law, you want that in regulation.
Yes.
And you can't change the law all the time, so you want regulation. All right, let me talk about that for regulation. So can we note that? Nobody's going to disagree with that. Okay. This was raised to the committee before, sir.
Yes, the issue of conditions.
What happened, you raised
the ask for the committee.
Okay.
When the committee pursued this with the executive, what happened when you raised the conditions of service?
What happened?
Chair,
as far as I'm aware, there's not justice, but it's in the
ASMR
report. All these issues are
in that. Yeah, can I just read with you, Jody, Sadiq, and others? As I understand that report, it is going to be processed next year sometime. Is that correct? Right. That's a small report. And there are some issues that I think impinge on the agency's policy concerns. And I think you're right, Jody, that
the focus of the media was on merging all these things. And other people, it has not been negotiated with them or handled. I don't know what goes on, but I'm just saying, people were obviously like everywhere in the world, feeling threatened. So, you know, I think that you're quite right. There are other aspects of the report that are useful to pursue, even if it's not merging the institution. And I think that we need as a committee, since some of these institutions, to raise this in some appropriate forum early in the new year. Lori, will you put some pressure on me, okay? Mm-hmm. Just sort of things we can raise. But that report is going to be processed next year. Not before we run. Okay. Then, now, over to members to raise issues. We've got half an hour, not enough time, but it's too fast. Punaran?
My first question would be to the commissioner, to the commissioner. It's about the issue that is raised on commissioner level. Why was he allowed to do what he did? I think it has to do with one of his books in but as a result, the commission lost some money to the tune of 8,000. So why was he allowed to do that? And then in the sort of translation of his book. And what is being done by the commissioner? Because I suppose that does not fall within the CEO's powers. So I want to know what is the commissioner's plan about it. That would be the question to the commissioner. Then to the CEO and his on page 78 on property plan and equipment. Certain assets were sold to staff. Is there a policy which you have developed which assists you to do that? And I'm also concerned about on page 93 of the annual report, the salary gap. The salary gap between the CEO and other members of the management. And even the middle management, I think the salary gap is too much. The salary gap is too much. Can he comment on that? And then the other issue, I think, which we raised last year, is the issue of the commission considering employing internal auditors, not outsourcing them. Because I think the issue that the Auditor General has raised, I don't think we are getting a value for money out of this outsourced auditors. I think it is important to have internal auditors to build capacity, especially for internal control measures. And then on page 95, seemingly you went on and ensure assets without seeking the treasury approval, right? That is why when you applied for it, it was not approved, it was unsuccessful. Then why did you do that? Yeah.
Can we take Llewellyn and then we'll stop there because there's a lot of questions. Llewellyn,
you know, I'll start with the points raised by Chairperson Collins and Chairperson. With regard to security at the Commission's head office. It's going to sound like I'm proposing that you mix salt with sugar, but I see nothing wrong with calling in an expert on security. I'm not suggesting that you put two or three policemen to pace up and down the entrance of your headquarters. Clearly that wouldn't go down very well, but so I think police service do have experts in this field. And I'm pretty sure that they can advise you accordingly. They'll do a thorough inspection. location of your headquarters and tell you where to fix what needs fixing, and you can move on from there. That's my first point, which I'm hoping you'll respond to. Chairperson, we've always had this complaint from the Commission and the other Commission where government departments don't respond to the Commission's requests for information. I've always been of the view in this institution that while we are the Portfolio Committee of Justice, if, for example, the Department of Public Works is one of those mentioned here, that we call it in.
Yes.
I see nothing wrong with us, and I don't believe we should first consult with the chair of the Public Works Committee. That's not what this is all about. Because the rules allow it.
I will disagree with you there, but that's fine. We can agree to disagree.
All right, fine. Others have disagreed with me as well. But the point here is that while we are disagreeing exactly, the problem remains. And so my question then to the Commission is, can you provide us with details and specifics of those government departments? I'm referring specifically to your slide number 60. That's the next question, Chairperson. Which brings me to the last one, slide 59, delay in approval of payments of commissioners' salary increases. Now, you're somewhat fortunate in that you don't have someone telling you that you're overpaid. but Chairperson, I really would like to know what the causes are for today. Is it an executive thing? Is it where? Is it Treasury? I'm not too clear. And then, as committee, then we can take it further once that's clarified. Thank you.
Yeah, I know we've partly addressed that issue, but we'll come back to it. Let's take this corpus of questions and then we'll do the next one. Please be a bit brief. You know why there's hundreds of questions? We haven't even asked who has asked, and he's got like at least. Look, can we agree on process very quickly? Look, let's be realistic. You know what we do? I'm just thinking about it. We're not going to be able to cover two ends. Report, right? So what we do is we email it to the CEO and the chairperson, right, correct? And then we give them, I'm sorry about this, it is really sort of all on you. But because we want to adopt all the reports before we arrive on the 22nd, I think we give you up till Monday, Tuesday, next week to do a little reply to Mayor, because she gives bullet form. So she points out there's lots of, well, it's consistency, inconsistency. In one page you say there's so many complaints, and in the next page you say the figure is different and so on, but you pick up on some of those things. So that's one issue. Two is, I think we should focus on the areas around which we as a committee expect you. See, you've said some things you're going to do, you want, and we said this is what we can do, what we can't do, but we should also, before we part at one, say, what is it that we as a committee expect from you when you report back to us next year? Can I also raise another thing, Jody, that we're thinking about now? Here, I'm not sure how we manage this. We told the department, you can't come with the annual report and then come back next year. We want to monitor you every quarter. So we read on quarterly reports. Now, you see, public enterprise is what we just commented. There aren't any friends here. Don't come with it. I'll speak of the committee, because it is, I'm not a politician anymore. Now, the point is, you know, in public enterprise, what we did, we said, instead of calling ESCOM, hauling them before us, and Mami Arambo from Trump every quarter, we told the department, the DG can't, because you're the accounting officer. Well, you can't, absolutely can't come with DGG or somebody. So you report on your performance in terms of your strategic plan, but also ESCOM, Transnet, Enel, and so on. And if they want to come, they're welcome to come, and they often came, because they wanted to prevent them being misunderstood. Now, in the case of the department, when we ask them on their quarterly report, presumably, although you're a Chapter 9 institution and your relationship with the department is different from Transnet and so on, isn't it true the department, the Shara, monitors? Although they're independent, you monitor. Do you get quarterly reports? Do you get quarterly reports? No. Oh, then it's different. We can't do that here. Or I will find a way, without intruding on your autonomy, without equating you to Transnet's relationship with GPE, Public Enterprise Department, whether we can get some sort of quarterly, because when you come next year, hey, you know, it's too long away. Okay, we'll process that issue, but let's have your reply now, and then we bear in mind that we will get in written form by Monday, Tuesday next week, your outstanding reply. okay? Or questions that are put to you by Suan and others. Let's go for it, Jody.
Thanks. So we can give you a commitment to submit a quarterly report to you directly.
Well, we'd like that. Yes.
Plan, and you can then decide
whether we need to call you.
Yes, that would be wonderful.
Good.
Chair, I think the first issue is that while there was a principal commitment to use the commission's resources to translate the book, if the expenditure had been incurred and it had been without the requisition, that should not have happened. And on your show, remember that it wasn't wasteful in the sense, because we agreed that the book was useful and valuable and needed to be translated and it's been used in communities in schools, so that shouldn't have happened. And
So what I'd like to do, there's not a lot to go into the fact. I mean, the book was written by the commissioner and the wife, he needs to talk about it. And then the commission felt that the book would be quite useful in the human rights commission. And then the decisions were made that the commission must then take over the cost. Now what happened was this, people then began getting requisitions for them before getting the prior approval from the CEO. So approval was given by the CEO, but it was after the fact, and I did write a note making colleagues aware that it was needed to. So it's not like money was wasted. It's actually a very good book from what I hear. It's written in Africa, that we just need to enough. So, and I hope Parliament will have a copy.
But you think, from what I gather, it's like you haven't read it. Anyway, okay, we'll get a copy. Have you got a copy?
No.
Well, we should. We'll arrange for us to be given a copy, and then we can distribute it to all the parties at least, not every member necessarily. Okay, thank you. Next slide.
See, we'll do the other questions, but we will submit a list of departments who are defaulted, if I could call it, with regard to Mr. Landon's question in terms of poor response time. So that might be useful. You know, how many letters, what's the average response time? So
Well, that's section 32.
Okay, fine.
Good. How do you want to say something against the issue? We're now redrafting our subpoena letter. We have a sort of template which our officers send out, and we indicate that if you fail to comply, these are the consequences. Can we use your invitation that in fact we don't get cooperation? Your
please
name
do.
Is a left
please
office
do.
When you take the cooperation.
Yes, I'm sure. Good. You know what I want to say? I read this section also. Sorry, you want to say something else?
No, I just want to say that if you're okay with that, we can.
No, you must. You're in your parliament. That's our job. Look, I read this thing. The same thing struck me. Funny you picked it up the word. And in my notes in the famous internal document, I noted those things. I actually feel, I really enjoyed it. I don't think, enjoyed is not the right word. I was very interested. Look, I don't know you, right? So my views are, I know you from the newspaper. I mean, I don't read your report. Why should I? I only got 25 hours in a day, 8 days a week.
I'm not going to pay it anyway.
Sorry? Yeah. So now, needless to say, now the point I want to make is, why do I want to tell you the SACP, even if you don't get all increases, they also be preempted. So we're talking about your cycle, Siddhita. In the party, as soon as they read the paper, what the day can just say, ah, Harry, you're a chairperson of 23%. So I'll have to pay whether what the day can deliver or not. Can you raise these things with that, please? Okay, on a more serious note, this thing is great, you know. I'm not just telling you whether I have, I have no idea that you had such a, look at that. I didn't have an idea. I'm a genius in 1994. But you had such an important role as part of this information community. And in my constituency, let me tell you, if I'd known, you could have helped me out all these years. Imagine the amount of work I did that you could have done for me. The fact of the matter is, this is really cool. And I don't think there are many parliaments in the world that have a structure like ours that intervenes in this sort of way. So I really think this is the same thing that struck me. Government departments, parliament has been to hold into account now. Without sounding ambitious, can we think about this thing as a committee? You see, maybe what we do is, if we can find the time, early in the new year, we bring all these departments before us and invite their committees to work. On one whole day, we call you in and whoever else is relevant, the department, and we say, on this matter, okay, PIA, is that how you say?
PIA,
this is what is being said, and really, you department, so, in this higher thing, since you write it, you made lots of comments about information offices, right? Now, what's the issue there? You approach the department and you approach the small committee, as we call it, about this matter. What's the response?
There's a recommendation from the small committee that within the current structure of the commission, you should appoint an information commission allocate resources and ring fence those resources. So that, that activity can be adjudicated.
What does the department say in reply?
Anjara?
We'll just take a little quick thing for that, yeah?
You just need to bear in mind that when we conceptualize, one of the problems we foresaw was that we didn't want the departments and bodies to create a whole new bureaucracy around information.
Yeah.
Okay? Because that was raised
at the time you were
raised for that.
Yeah.
And so consistently we said, no, departments and entities must appoint from within people who are already employed and simply train them to be information officers. Now the direction we seem to be going there is back to that.
Back to that.
So that you're going to create a whole new bureaucracy. Pensions, other benefits, travelling allowance, the whole works.
Let's take the members first, so then you respond collectively to all the issues around them.
You see, just very useful what you said.
Just to say that the thinking was, because you also operated in relation on the Alcohol Committee, what is happening in practice now is, let's say I approach you as a public body for information, and you refuse to give it to me. My only course of action is to take the matter to court. Now, if I'm a poor person in a rural area, marginalized, so actually what we're doing is we're depriving people that right to use a piece of legislation. If you have a single information commissioner situated in the Human Rights Commission who has the power to force that public body to make that information, or to make the call on must the public body give the information or not, and if they don't, so they're forced to do so, as a court would be. It's
going to
benefit the public.
All right. Let's have Ushara first, and then we come back to the... What's the department's position on this?
On the Information Commission? Chairperson, I've not been involved in those discussions between the Human Rights Commission and the Office of Our Deputy Information Officer
in
the Department. I have to take this back to the
Deputy. Okay, so you don't know. All right, that's fine. Okay, let's get back to Joji
Kazi's Khadisa. I just want to clarify. I agree that the idea is not to establish dedicated information structures everywhere else, but because the Human Rights Commission has specific duties and roles in respect of the Act.
Yeah, you want to.
Yeah, I know that.
It is really a request for yourself to have.
Yeah, that's the thing I get from your report. Now, in that regard, sorry, my friend is next to Sudhita.
Yes, I just wanted to say thanks, Chair. That we switch to confuse and choosing.
Yes.
The Information Commission and Information Officer.
Yeah, I love to confuse people. Yeah. I was referring to the Information Commission.
Yes, so the Information Officers are the ones within departments who must then...
That's me confusing people. What I really meant was the Information Commission, you need some sanction for it by the department. What's the big deal? I can't give us the problem. Can you... Kati?
Yeah, I just want to say that... Something's point is particularly important because what you have is a court enforcement mechanism is singularly inappropriate as far as access information. Because only people who have a financial interest in acquiring information are ultimately going to court. So you're left with a situation where, realistically, you have a very difficult discretion to exercise. The information officers exercise what in law we call a judicial discretion.
Yeah.
The issue of privacy versus disclosure. And almost invariably, they are cautious. You accept that. They'd rather not disclose the information, get a court order, compel us to disclose. And so therefore, if you have an information commissioner who's versed in these issues, advising the party, then the act becomes effective. As it stands at the moment, the act is not...
All right, can I suggest a way out? You see in the report, we... Sinisa, you go for it first, and then I'll come in.
This is the only issue of... the act clearly stipulates that the magistrate court can become PAIA court to provide access to poor people. Since the Act was passed, we've been very interested in the department that the rules board must pass the rules, because the idea of the PAIA court is also similar to that of the public court. And that has never happened. Which means at this point in time, if you have to go to court, you have to go to the High Court. It then therefore makes PAIA almost unworkable in rural areas and where people don't have the money. But the second even if the commission could assist, the other extent, if you are denied access to a report by public body, you then have to launch an appeal. And after the appeal has been turned down, you've got 30 days to go to court. If you don't, you can't go to court unless the court convenes. So that also makes it difficult for the Human Rights Commission to intervene when the appeals have already been rejected and people have run out of time. So what we then do in most cases, basically just to use influence services in chief, police provide information. And as a result, when you have some technical that in government, you can just take a walk.
You know what I suggested, Vito? To save time. You see, you've also on page, page 102 suggested some law reform, you know, I kicked all this off and so on, and I hope I don't get to engage with you, but look, ain't the time. Why don't we suggest this? You see, the main thing is our report, because that report gets tabled to the ACC, and that's the report that will provide us a framework within which we monitor development both on your side and the ACC. So, Vito, can I ask you, please, you give us a paragraph that fits out why you want an information commission, is that the term you use?
With commissioner.
Commissioner. South African Human Rights Commission. Then also, you see the stuff you're on law reform. If you can cite it, you don't want too long a report. Do us a paragraph presenting your case. When the written report comes to this committee, we'll apply our mind further. But in principle, if you sense the mood of this committee, I think Llewellyn is correct about it, but on the information commission, we don't see a problem. You're doing very good work, you know, enhance your capacity. Well, I don't think that's a problem. So you just craft the argument for us. You know, in your side, you see, Christine, they will give you what they said, then in the second section, the committee's response has been positive to that, and this is what we're going to do. So, you know, you can help with that. That'll save a lot of time. But can we congratulate, what can we correct to say? Well, if you've done it before, there's no need for us to say it this year's report. The Human Rights Commission, the work it's doing, and we should encourage it to strengthen its role in this regard and commit ourselves to playing our role. And then very carefully, because you see, we're also held to account. If we write a report and say we're going to have this meeting. Now, looking at the bills that are coming, two new bills only today, I didn't know. Human Rights Commission, Bill Amendment Act, and the Gender Commission. I don't know how much we're going to do, but the committee will consider, you know, within its time and capacity constraints, hosting a meeting in the first half of next year, just to give us latitude, right? Because then they'll come to us and say, hey, you guys, you promised us a meeting with, including the Human Rights Commission, other stakeholders, and the relevant department, to monitor failure to deliver on PIA. So we find the words in the case, you see? We agree on that. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Once we've given them the information commissioner, are they going to then come back and say, okay, now we want an equality commission?
Yeah, well, hopefully, you know what, John Foster said, you quite often future generations will deal with that, you know? He's gone in 2009. By the way, Jody, I'll have you know, Peter and Richard. Now, my way the children carefully, Carol, Christine, Joanne, and others in my pulse and me, Imam, hey, he says, you know, the way things are going in the ANC now, he says, we need a provision in the constitution of the ANC to say, at least one third of our public representatives will be men. You probably heard the
other. I think
that's it. Carol. Oh, there's Mama Flower.
Yeah.
So if you go right here. Sorry, I didn't see you.
I think that here I must have my resolution.
Yes.
In the finance.
Yeah.
Because you violated my rights.
Yes,
my life of access to information.
Right.
By having small print.
Oh, right.
As in time of
read.
I was unable to read even one of these slides.
Yes.
Because when you're very tiny,
oh, yeah,
and have a problem, I touch. So next time, make sure that you have a bigger print. Otherwise, my question was based on Section 184, Subsection 2 of the Constitution. It goes blah 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 to take steps to secure appropriate redress where human rights have been violated. So I wanted to know if there are any issues that will handle as a commission. Maybe my question is pretty much which appears or on the ongoing report. But I would like to mention specific areas where we have been abused.
Thank you. Okay, before you answer the other question, Diva.
Chairman Maharashtra, Chairman Jodi is implement the closure of the Kalicha, you know, Palace Court.
Yeah.
Certainly, it is not the department's responsibility to promote equality. I look at the vision and mission of the commission, and that is one of their missions, right? Raising awareness of human rights issues, right? The promotion, you know, not only protect, but the promotion of right? If I think the commission should take up the matter and to then promote it, you know, of course, and promote it, you know, among those, particularly those poor people there in Kanisha, right? The use of the equality court. I'm not trying to speak from the bottom here. I think the commission should have done that. Second, there is a perception out there, you know, that the commission is taking up certain issues of human rights and are creating victims. For example, land claims or the eviction of people, for example. I mean, the owners of private property also have rights. But the perception out there is, I mean, now the bill comes to my constituent job and says, the Human Rights Commission is one side of it. They're only seeing the victims here. They're not dealing with the issues of a conflict of rights here.
Okay, so you wanted to respond. JB, let's have JB. Carol, and then we'll take all those questions. Yeah.
Just one question, Secretary. I want to find out what the current measure, what role the Human Rights Commission can play in enforcing socio-economic rights. I'm just thinking about a situation where I know that socio-economic rights are analyzed in a way or manner, but suppose a child who's living under a tree who will not, out of her own, out of his own, take the message to the constitutional court and say, I demand to have a proper school like any other children, or even the question of housing some communities to say, we understand about this gradual preservation of life, but we think we need proper housing here. What role can the Human Rights Commission play?
Okay, then we have Carol.
Yeah, thanks. Just when we met the Human Rights Commission earlier this year, you mentioned that there would be two sort of more dedicated focus areas on children and refugees. Just what has happened over the past year on those two areas.
This is the last bit of questions. Is that right? Any other questions? I've got a few things I have to say too. But let's answer these questions because I want the committee to give some guidance to Christine about drafting the report and what our overall view is. I just want things to bounce off you. So we'll try to finish by 10 parts of the later. Okay? We got lunch with us? Mark for the meal, okay. Yeah, but some of us could go to meeting at 1:45 as well. But anyway, let's go for it. Yeah.
Chair, I think the issue of redress and the issue of Mr. Sibagnoni is that the Commission does it in two ways. So one is the Commission can try and cajole and convince. So for example, when you go to Skukuni, we write to the Premier and you say, please do this. But often that doesn't succeed. And then the Commission has to use its powers. And it has used its powers of litigation. So for example, we took an education case to the High Court where the school exemption policy was not being applied. Because he argued the case with the Office of Commission against the Speaker. So it's a balance of trying to use the approach to convince for them. But I must say our capacity to litigate is limited. And it's true in our arsenal that it's not the favorite tool. I think I agree with the Imam that we share the joint responsibility to promote. But Chair, we've taken more cases to the Equality Court than any other institution. And we've used the Equality Court in a way by which we've taken cases. But we've also worked with the Justice Department and we've been on their roadshows. When they go to promote a court, they ask us to come with them. But primarily, we do not have the resources to popularize the Equality Court. It requires a massive campaign and legislation to speak to that because that's within a mandate. I think with regards to the evictions, what we're trying to do is to say, yes, there's due process, but if the sheriff serves the summons and has the allegation warrant, in all cases about the fixing issue of a door, and people are staying at home every day, then we're not saying people must not be responsible for paying their bond, but we're saying that due process must follow. And at the end of the day, we shouldn't just be concerned with legal compliance. Important as it is, if people are losing their homes, and there could be interventions by restructuring their plan, that's what we want to explore in the next 2 days. So the idea is to also create responsible citizens, but to also look at the context, that if people are losing homes, and the right to housing is not, and the interventions that can be made in creative ways, then that's our role as well. But we take the point that the idea should not be to mistake people well. You're victims and take responsible citizens, that's not our point of view.
Have you ever been approached by a landlord to defend his or her rights against the tenant?
I'm not aware,
Chairperson. Because I have been involved.
Okay.
I have been. I've tried this thing. But anyway, I'll deal with you. I'll sit next to you. I'll tell you what happened.
Very quickly, we do have an asset disposal policy in line with the law of the country for disposal of the assets which are no longer used, like cell phones, stuff like that. As far as the gap is concerned, the Commission currently we're using public service scheme. So the CEO, the DPD level, Deputy CEO, Chief Director, and so forth. So those are the other schemes. And of course, our old staff members have raised the issue of this big gap. So then what we did then, we then this year, consulted a group called A Group, which made an integrated assessment of the Polaris deal with the Commission, and then made a recommendation. It didn't turn out very well, because basically the top management is the one which is costly underpaid, and the lower staff are the ones who are costly overpaid, which also then created a lot of problems. But the issue is that there's a need really for bodies like us to have a workforce salary structure, which is different from that of the public service in the sense of it's actually more humane. It takes into account the salary gap. And that's what we're trying to address. Unfortunately, we can't document anywhere until issues of regulation are addressed. But we are quite mindful of that, you know, in an organization like us, which is based on level of human rights equality, we should not have unreasonable big salary gaps between the top and the bottom. And then the issue of insurance assets without federal approval, this was basically carried over from, this is what I inherited basically when I took over as acting as well as in November 2005 as well as, and then we've applied for permission from Treasury in the previous financial year. And then that permission was only denied in the 2006-2007. And therefore we have then complied with that in 2007-2008. So even if the report is realized, actually this is something that was carried over from the two financial years. But again, we've also applied now after the robbery to basically increase that, because it means we can only insure assets to the tune of 250,000. And as a result, I mean, when our seller was stolen in August, that's 1 million, 1 million. But basically underinsured now. You are in, so we can only insure cars and a few other things. Some of our computers are not even insured because of this. And we should really find it difficult to understand why not even in the 250,000 and what makes sense. Even households can be insured much more than that. And then we run a budget of 65 million, but also we take into account accumulative assets since 1996. So there's a whole lot of money in the company assets which are not protected by insurance. And then we never understand. And again, never give us reasons why it just kind of down. And then maybe it was just a reaction to the fact. Now, on security, we currently, actually have already approved a new security policy. We're getting a new security company, and there's a whole lot of money being spent in this regard. And my colleagues can talk on that, including the involvement of the police and everybody else. We went to a meeting of security officers in August, in August. And of course, we'll also be appointing a security officer in line with the current legislation. Some point back and stuff like that of the police and other people. Now, I think we discussed the issue of non-compliance that should happen, and then the issue of the delay in the salaries of commissioners. I think you know, in a very mild form, it's just carelessness in government officials, because because the first question is how come you don't have the same delay in the payment of the letter of the minister? Why would only that? And then of course we find that, you know, decisions are made and then somebody simply forgot to put the letter. But this has been historical. I think since starting the commission, we are always paying 1 year.
Yeah.
And it really creates all sorts of problems.
Can you do a paragraph on that too? Neatly, you know, something paragraph and then we do our response. Yeah.
Okay. And then I think initial question 184 has been covered in terms of what we do to assessing and organization. But here you see, I mean, if we get 11,000 complaints, those are complaints on human rights violations. And we deal with them in different ways in terms of our law. We mediate, we resolve them, and then we go to court where we have to, we have public hearings. However, I do want to agree that as far as litigation is concerned, we probably need to increase that capacity a little bit more, because, you know, 13 years later, one of the fact that people can say, okay, look, human rights are valid human rights, and the human rights commission will come and say, listen, you are guilty as charged, and I'm sorry. And so we really need to, you know, make sure that, you know, people are aware that human rights violation has consequences beyond simply saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And of course, we do go to court, but I don't think we need to go a bit more with that. And then on the issue of the closure of the Quality Court, I also want to indicate that in terms of the Quality Act, not only the Human Rights Commission, which is tasked with the promotion of the Act, all public bodies are, you know, enjoined by the Act to do so. And this has been our problem, that, you know, government departments to a large extent are waiting for the promulgation of the Act, and therefore they will not be there. I mean, even if you do an assessment now as to how many government departments have actually allocated budgets for getting out the legal mandate of promoting human rights, again, we will be a bit short about that. And of course, we do what we can do. But certainly, with the 65 million rand annual budget for the whole commission, and you compare that with what that surely you cannot be expected with the driver. We are simply a catalyst around the commission. We don't have the kind of capital outlay for that. Now, the other thing is, I'm going to the quality, on the issue of poverty. Forgot to mention this. The Quality Act clearly stated that the Act has to be amended in order to make socioeconomic rights a ground for unfair discrimination. That has never happened. Now, for a country which is committed to...
Can you do a paragraph on that? That's really useful, yeah. Okay, just mention that. It's useful.
Okay.
Well, you're noting what you have to write. You know, you just easily... You see, let me explain to you, Lisa. We, in the first part of our report, we say what you said in summary. We're not going to reproduce your report in about 3 pages or so. It is the following 3 pages where we say what the committee thinks about what you say. And where you are exaggerating and complimenting yourself, we'll say the committee is suspicious or cautious about what you're saying. We'll find the diplomatic stuff. And then we will say, this is what we recommend to the executive. And then we set a program for ourselves of monitoring and doing our own thing. So that would be really useful, what you just said. Another paragraph on that. Yeah.
And then on the issue of the children and refugees, the coordinators, most of them, took office last year, and those are some of the issues in the report. That, you know, they have not been around for quite a long time. These are new programs, so the work they do, I think, is in the proper. I'm told that the chairperson will also add to that, so I'll leave it
to will the deputy chair want to say something?
Actually, Teresa has touched a little on the issue of children and refugees, so I don't think, given the time, can
say something. No, I'll be inviting you. 2 minutes, you want to say something?
Well, I'll just add that, you know, the commission realized later in the early years that there was indeed a need for a focus on refugees initially.
Yeah.
Of course, there was a commission already at the time of the new issues of children. And so in 1999, the commission opted to appoint a part-time commissioner to deal specifically with refugees and migrants. But then, after 2001, when the commission came to the end of the first term and a couple of commissioners had left. I was commissioner responsible for refugees and customs issues. I was then asked to work on other areas such as equality and so on. But then I did recommend to the commission that we needed to expand our work because
refugees are perhaps new to the whole area of refugee reception, as well as rights of migrants in general. In other words, this is dealing with human rights of migrants. We really not this is not any government starting with individuals. It took a long time for Home Affairs to even design a piece of legislation that will create the framework for status discrimination issues and so on. So indeed we have a coordinator now, and our monitoring work, our public advocacy and public awareness training work has really made the lot of refugees and other members much better in terms of the protection of their rights. And the same goes for children. We had a commissioner who came who had the responsibility of children's rights. In her absence, Commissioner Berko took over and went along with her. But presently we've got the target coordinator now, and she's really been tremendous. She's already got involved in a whole lot of advocacy work, training, research, as well as monitoring. She's done a lot of input into various areas of this commission and our children. So we're quite happy with the progress we've made so far.
Thank you. Could you throw half a minute, please, here?
Chair, the issue of the operator,
definitely
our intention to stop outsourcing our talent. So the appointment of the chief talent auditor this month at the director level actually brought in that direction. So we'll wean out our outsourced audit to make it better.
Can I just quickly say a few things? We are out of time. One is, would the committee agree that our report, as you don't really see, but I'm going to save time, that overall, our view is that with the constraints of resources and capacity and so on, the Human Rights Commission is doing a reasonably good job. Anybody object to that? That's our overall justification. I just want to speak to myself, I think that's it, because you will have a chance to reply. But I'm slightly cautious, because I think, you look, this is very subjective. I'm not asking for any agreement. I'm speaking as an individual member of this committee, not sharing social things. I'm slightly cautious about how good you are in terms of your own targets. So the question that enters my head is, are you under-targeting? Because you constantly overshoot your targets. Hey, that's rare. And I've been around for 13 years now. And hey, one gets very cautious. Because if you look at your report, it's constantly achieving your target or overachieving, which is great. But the question arises, how are you choosing your targets in the first place? And are you setting modest targets and then you overachieve and then at Parliament we are forced to congratulate you? I'm just raising it as a question of debate. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying it's the healthy skepticism of a typical politician doing an oversight role. It's my job, and so is the job my comrades and friends. Okay, the next thing very quickly is, there are some things that Sue and picked up that I also picked up, which is that there are some, like, I think maybe typographical glitches or whatever, but the figures don't always cohere. And sometimes, speaking for myself now, I think Sue and Mike have also picked this up. You see, sometimes you say you achieved your target, but you don't give the evidence. I'll tell you very clear. You will say, when there are five meetings, we had seven. Sometimes you're getting outputs, not outcomes. And we know that story, right? I mean, you can have outputs, but we still don't know what the material outcomes are. But we'll come back to that. And in our report, we will say one sentence about it. Because overall, I do think, certainly true, besides the committee thinking, that your report is reasonably good. And I think you're not exaggerating. I think for the most part, you are doing what you're doing, and you think it's great. Now, there are some things that actually agree the work you're doing, right? Which is, for example, you've started work on initiation. It does strike one that's taken very long to come with a report, but again, maybe citizens said we responsible partly approaching your people. You did a very good thing on school violence. It's a big gap. Some way or the other, I think this committee would be interested to know, beyond just getting a paper, look serialistic, you get cluttered with documents. If it comes just to us, no one's going to read it. You know? These are 16, so that, and hey, they don't make decisions here, although they're influential in this committee, far beyond what I would like. But they do really good work, so what can we do? I was in Washington last weekend, George. J.P. McCollum is a senator, she has 18 members of staff. A colleague, I mean, no, I've got 23. They too don't read the documents that we just write every policy, they get researchers to do it. I will probably do something to write my features for me, but we'll come back to that later today and see. But look, the issue of, very quickly, yesterday when we are in the August that you intervened, Jody, you know, people did August yesterday, this person died, Zimbabwe, waiting in the queue. It is very sad. Starting with Mugabe, I mean, let's be realistic. Why are they here? It's not Robert Mugabe. And where's the test case? They can quote me on this matter. I'm consistent wherever I've spoken. I think you will agree. I mean, it's outrageous for a certain time. I would be interested to know what the outcome is. I'm very Colin Patrick was also approached to saying it's just not honest. You can't blame the Department of Home Affairs particularly. I mean, there are many reasons why the person would have died. Not least in the first instance, I'm just seeing Zimbabwe and why. But the truth of the matter is, at least it suggested that one of the reasons is that he didn't want to give up his position in the queue for 2 weeks. It's a really extraordinary campaign. It's a sad indictment of all of us in Southern Africa. Not just part of the Home Affairs of the South African government. But it's very good that you're intervening. Wonderful. The sense I get, this is very subjective again, Congress, I'm not familiar. You're a really good Human Rights Commission by world standards. So I'm interested to hear Sidiso say that when you went to the conference, Sidiso, Uganda and Kenya were regarded as being powerful. Did they value us? Did they evaluate us? What did they say about us? I mean, you.
Kenya and Uganda.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't get that either. Then, you know, I was not working together with other Chapter 9 institutions. Hey, it's bad. Now, when you say that, it's difficult to hold safety and security here, I'm sure, as it is for them to get asked to go there. It was difficult to get the scope up. So Parliament itself must ask itself, after all this clustering, how effective are the clustering? So that's our problem, and you can be critical of us, and rightly so. But the truth of the matter is, given the overlap, look, I was in local government when we did that cultural rights institution. For what it's worth, by that time, I wasn't wholly convinced that you'd be effective. But there's considerable overlap there. But the point is, you know, why can't you have a forum of CEOs? You see, if all fellows in our ministry, we could negotiate with our minister that, hey, all them together once every quarter to meet. You don't scare me, you can. But a forum of CEOs, a forum of chairpersons of these commissions, if you can't get all the commissions working together, can we tentatively and consciously succeed? Suggest that we put a question to them. But we would like to see greater cooperation and we'd like to report back. Obviously, they're not the only commission. I mean, if they want to work with others, and those people don't want to work, what do we do? Except for the Gender Commission. But we'll raise that tomorrow with the Gender Commission. Then, our the provinces with leaders, too many things to raise there. On the financial issues, I think Bulanani covered several things I wanted to, but there are some things, though you have no matters of emphasis on page, but the COPA will presumably take that out. Which there were four things there, two I'm also highlighting them. I thought I'm giving 2 minutes to just raise something you want to raise. I know it's very difficult, but just 2 minutes ain't enough. But look, let me pass because time's running out. I think you're doing a lot of good work in Africa. It's great, you know. I think we should encourage that, the third world countries and so on. The human rights ethos that I think you have already communicated to us in your reports and what we read in the press is great. I'll jump all the stuff on... I like this thing. You see, you're quite activistic for the commission. You say, Jody's words are, you must be an agent for transformation. I think it's correct, really. Sometimes commissions, I think, are too neutral. But as usual, got a more activistic ethos. And I think that's great. And I think we should, in a report, say something about, on the government departments, the women's covered me far more adequate than anything I can say. I'll jump all the stuff. On non-nationals, women's covered this crowd. I really think, you know, the committee should say that the work on refugees is to be welcomed, and we're very keen to see it evolve and develop and so on. And if you want our help in any way, working with, Patrick Committee, we'll be prepared to offer whatever assistance. The child life stuff we've covered, e-learning we've covered. You think you're doing a lot of work in rural areas to be sending a report to us next year. Somewhere along the way, I didn't see that report or else I saw, or the scope up would say you're too urban oriented. Well, am I wrong? Sorry?
Christine's document.
Christine's document, okay. Then, matters of non-compliance with our job test. One person with disabilities only, that's not acceptable to yourself, you general, aren't they?
Can we note that in our report? So we have time to reply, is it important? Cricketer on our staff is covered, then the rest of the staff is covered. New approach to ESR, we seem to see that. Why do we have an office in the Northwest?
Quickly, just reply to that. We are 13 years later.
We have one now, Chief.
We have one
here. Because it took us 2 years to try to manage to get an office.
Yeah, I saw that, eh?
And then it's a little bit without them.
Okay, I think I'll drop the rest of it, except to summarize it like this. So actually, we think you're doing fine, in fact better than fine. We shouldn't be ungenerous. If we really think they're doing extremely well, just shout it like that. We'll find the right wording. So I put reasonably well, stroke, very well, stroke whatever, and let the members decide. But generally, let's just tell you this, my own approach, right, comrades, you will not agree, is to lock off 1/3 at least, minimum, of what people say before Parliament. 1/3 at least is exaggerated. But in this case, I don't think the literal level has been reached. So, you know, in Trump's case, let me tell you, Trump's case is wonderful. Eh? I mean, they come before you, they say, look, we haven't achieved this, and they're so precise. That, you know, they overwhelm us by their honesty, and they're saying, look, we haven't delivered on this thing as well. So they get excellent reports. Why? It's not so much because we want people just to achieve. We also want them to recognize the challenges in securing achievements. That in itself is the first step to acknowledge that you're not free. And therefore you're going to face, you know, over the next 3 to 5 years, what you do. But overall, I don't know if anybody wants to disagree. I mean, wouldn't you want to give quite a positive, relatively positive report and urge them to do more and re-cooperate? Is that the thrust of what we say? Good. So, do you want to raise anything quickly?
I think it's very unfair, but do. You did a lot of good work, and we should encourage you to have your report urged. Is there anything you want to pick up? Some thematic thing in your report?
Just regarding to, we heard that you had a problem with litigation regarding capacity. Can we just have a follow-up on the status of the locally status of the provincial officers?
Okay, so you can do that in this report. Then you also point out that actually the complaint finalization, they've been reduced. Is that right compared to 2005, 2006? But that may be because they got a higher number of complaints, or is it percentage-wise to reduce?
It's number one.
Number one. But then that also depends on the number they got. So she will pursue that with you outside the community. And then each section, what she's done in grey, that's like you've blocked it. There are questions that we should raise. So we're not asking the city to spend a whole year now replying to this. In bullet form. And then if you can exchange telephone numbers, you can even do some of this over the phone. But I'll leave that to you to decide over lunch. Okay? Well, thank you once again to all of you. We will also be subject to your scrutiny. Now, once we write our report, you must hold us to account to deliver on what we say we're going to deliver, okay? So, since you can ring me anytime, I'll be myself, or Jody Oda. But for now, thank you all. We meet tomorrow for the forum, please. Thank you.
We are going to do wings.
much service. If you can direct members.
Yeah.